Okay, there, everybody. Joel Radio's back with you. Welcome, welcome to the Joel Radio Podcast. Wherever you get this, whether you get it on Stitcher, whether you get it on iTunes, whether you get it right from joelradio.net, welcome to everybody. Thank you for tuning in or downloading us this week. It's Joel here, Fragmenti, and John Tenney's my co-host.
Hey!
John Tenney, long
time
no see. I know.
You always introduce it like there's people listening to the show.
Yeah, I do.
But, like, hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Like, it's not just me listening to it later on.
Well, there's other people listening. Come on, be a little respectful, John.
I know.
I mean, Corey's not even here. And
America's longest-running podcast.
But this is the original... It's hard to plug. I want to say this is the original comedy podcast on the internet.
Right.
And that distinction is that I am the first, me and Corey were the first professional comedians
right.
to start a podcast.
Yeah.
And we know that for a fact. There was one guy in LA who had like done some open mics who was like a writer.
What are they saying when podcasters yeah. talk about the history of podcasting?
I don't know.
What do they say is like, what's the birth of podcasting? About what year do you think?
Well, Adam Curry is credited with the term podcasting.
Right, from MTV.
And I guess his thing is he used the RSS feed to distribute the audio.
Right.
Meaning, and I think he wrote whatever the first program, if it was iPodder or something, where it would automatically, you'd push a button and the stuff would automatically be downloaded and using the RSS feed.
Right.
It would automatically download the show and put it on your iPod.
And what year are we talking about?
That would have been 2003 or 4.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I guess.
Wow.
We started in March of 2005. So we are, I guess we could call this the 9-year anniversary
so
of
if,
the show.
If they, so 2003 or 4 is when podcasting began.
Right, yes.
Right.
We believe it. You know, it could have been 2002, but it's still...
Right.
But I mean, like, when we got started, you could find out every podcast in the world and display them all on your computer.
Well,
monitors.
That's crazy because let's push it to 2002.
Okay.
So in 2002 is
well,
like...
when did the iPod hit? Because it was only shortly after that.
I don't know.
Yeah, see, yeah, I don't know.
I got no idea about that.
You guys at home can do the research.
But what's crazy is, to think about it in that sense...
Mm-hmm.
Then with the Oddest, my first podcast,
yeah.
even I was on the cutting edge.
When did you start that?
2008.
Okay, so yeah, even that was early.
Right.
You know, well, iTunes picked up podcasts, I believe, in 2006, because that's when everything went crazy for
Tenney
us.
On the cutting edge.
Well, in 2006, when iTunes added it, then it made it more mainstream for people to get it.
Right.
And that's when people started listening from Japan and Australia
yeah.
and Germany and all these other places that could find us now
right.
and started flooding in.
And now they're all overwhelmed and nobody listens to
them. Now there's so many shows, you're just buried in a muck of it. But, you know, the problem also is that a lot of shows are dead.
Right.
Meaning people do them, they stop doing them, but yet they're still sitting.
That's what I do.
Right, you create like short form shows,
yeah,
mini series,
yeah, like Top Tennies.
Top Tennies kind of came and went.
Yeah, Realm of the Weird, The Oddest.
But so this show has been. Well, it was originally called the Corey and Joel Radio Show. Now it's Joel Radio.
I have a new one I'm working on.
Okay, you want to announce anything about
it? Yeah, well, if people want to search it out, take the time to find it.
Go ahead,
but it's called My New Podcast.
Okay.
That's what it's called.
My New Podcast.
I figured I had so many ideas for podcasts,
yeah.
and I was starting a new podcast every time I had a new idea.
So is that the premise of the show?
So the premise of the show is that every episode is one of my ideas for a podcast.
Okay.
So that way you get a podcast every week,
yeah.
but you get a new podcast with a new format and a new idea every week.
Yeah, okay.
The only thing that's consistent is I'm on it.
It's you hosting various shows.
Yeah, so like the first episode is the Talk and Talk Show show.
Okay.
Where it's me and a friend watch a talk show and talk about it.
Okay.
The next episode is the Game Show podcast.
Okay.
Which is I sit down with a bunch of friends and we play a board game and podcast it.
Okay.
And then I have various other ideas.
All
but
right.
instead of starting a new podcast every time.
Oh, I see. You're going to have a catch-all.
I just do one.
Thing.
That way I won't get sick of doing the same
sure,
one over
yeah,
and
yeah,
over
yeah,
and
yeah.
over again.
Right, yeah. Well, that's a good idea. I like that.
Because I'm so out of my gourd.
But don't you feel, and this has sort of hurt this show in a sense, is that this show, when you categorize it, we always categorize it as comedy because, you know, we're funny guys. But it's not specifically always about stand-up comedy.
Right.
And so it's a general sort of pop culture talk show.
For sure.
And I feel like the shows that really do well are ones like your paranormal shows.
Right.
You know, We're Honest is a paranormal talk show.
Right.
People know where he goes. It has its own category exactly. on iTunes. It can rise to the top of that very easily without, right. you know. But I feel like when you do a general thing, it's when you can't get that category.
Right.
You know, like people are listening to, paranormal shows and they see yours next to it. What would your show be classified?
But here's
as?
The problem. The podcast that I listen to.
Yeah.
Yours.
Yeah.
Like the majority of podcasts that I listen to. Don't do the same show every week.
That's, well, it depends.
I cannot.
Yeah.
There are certain podcasts that I know are huge and people listen to them.
Yeah.
And I think that's a testament to people's uncreativity. Like,
well,
honestly, how can I listen to the same fucking show with the same four guests every fucking week over and over and over
here's
again?
This is what I listen to.
And I know
to.
That it's Los Angeles. I know they're all just gang banging and circle jerking each other
right.
over and over again.
Well,
and I'm tired of it.
Doing reach arounds. One guy does the show, the other guy does the next guy's show. And so you're saying you're talking about more like stand up podcasts?
Comedy podcasts.
Well, for me, what I listen to is I don't even listen to any of those. I do listen to Penn Jillette Show,
right.
Sunday School, which is distributed by Adam Carolla's network.
Oh, I brought a present for you that I forgot. Sorry I didn't interrupt.
Well, you didn't bring the present then, did you?
It's in my coat pocket.
Oh. All right, well, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe
it's not that great of a present, but anyway, you listen to that. You listen to Gillette Show.
Gillette Show. I listen to.
He's a terrible person, by the way.
Why do you say that?
He's so fucking close-minded. He thinks he's the pinnacle of intelligentsia and free thought, and he is a fucking close-minded. That's exactly the way it is. This is how I think, and this is what it's right.
He is a skeptic. He is a...
But he's the worst type of skeptic.
He's an
skeptic.
Atheist.
He's the worst type of skeptic, which is he knows that he's right.
Well...
A skeptic is even skeptical of their own belief system.
his is a show I listen to.
Right.
I listen to a video game podcast called The CADcast, which is the guys at Cheap Ass Gamer make that.
Okay.
And that's a pretty good... I mean, Cheap Ass Gamer, the point is that you find where to buy video games cheap. The show isn't necessarily about that. They come in and review video games that they played. And then they do some other general...
I forget that you're
categories.
A gamer.
I do. Well, this studio should show you that. Lots of games in the studio. And then I also listen to This Week in Tech with Leo Laporte, which is about technology.
I do love Leo Laporte.
It's a roundtable technology thing that's about 2 hours a week.
Right.
I listen to that. And then after that, Mark Maron, depending upon who the guest is, I'll listen to that.
Still haven't listened to a whole Mark Maron show. Hate him.
If the guests are good, it's good. You would like who's the Mel Brooks on Mark Maron.
Oh, all right.
That was a great show.
I would
show.
Probably listen to
that. That was a great show.
I'm listening to that for Mel Brooks, not Mark Maron.
Well, that's why I'm saying I listen to it depending upon who the guest is.
Right.
I listened to the Cheech and Chong one, which was great. And, you know, if I like the guest, I'll listen to Mark Maron.
I listen to Smartest Man in the World.
Okay.
Which is Greg Proopst.
Okay, yeah.
And that's basically just him riffing on the newspaper.
Okay.
Which I kind of enjoy because it's kind of a throwback to Mort Saul.
Yeah,
like,
a little bit.
Here's what happened, here's who died.
Yeah.
So it's kind of different every time.
But it's him basically doing a monologue.
And I enjoy that stuff. Because I'm a huge fan of like Spalding Gray.
Oh. Well, you might like what I did at O'Mara's Comedy Night.
Oh, what did you do at Omar's Comedy?
We're
going
to get to that in a second. Oh. Anything else you listen to?
I listened to Smartest Man in the World.
Okay.
I actually listened to, have you ever listened to Go Bayside?
I don't even know what that is.
It's a girl named April Richardson.
Okay.
And she sits down with her friends. They watch Saved by the Bell episodes.
Oh, boy.
And then they break them down
beat by beat. I'm out.
You're out.
I'm out.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
I can't even deal with Saved by the Bell.
It's amazing.
I can't deal with anyone who likes Saved by the Bell. And granted, maybe they don't like it, and that's part of the show.
But you understand that Saved by the Bell is a retelling of the pantheon of Greek gods. You understand that? Zeus is Zach, right?
Oh, come on.
What?
Hey, fuck off with that.
Come on. I'm just saying. I listen to that, and then I listen to what's else in my feed? There's something there. There's some... I don't even remember.
I also listen to something new called the 10th Avenue Podcast, which is Adam Carolla's wife interviews celebrities that are also Bruce Springsteen fans.
Ugh.
And they talk.
That's as bad as a Saved by the Bell podcast.
They talk about going to Bruce Springsteen concerts.
Oh, that's terrible.
Do you want to go to a Bruce Springsteen concert?
Do you have a free ticket?
I don't have a free ticket. I'm going in April.
If I'm alive.
I am going to three shows in April.
If I'm alive, I'll go to.
You want to go to a Springsteen? Yeah. We'll talk after.
Oh, and I listen to Nerd Poker.
Okay, I don't know what
that's
is.
Brian Posehn, where they play Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, okay. Posehn's funny. I know Posehn a little bit.
It's a good one.
All right.
Spoiler on the last Nerd Poker episode, the Dungeon Master kills every character.
Oh,
the
Jesus.
Show.
How dare he?
It's amazing.
You know, I was into Dungeons and Dragons as a kid.
I would play it right now.
But you know what? I actually probably sat down and played a game of Dungeons and Dragons. In like the 7 or 8 years I was into it, like three times.
Yeah.
Because you could never get the people together, or you'd have to.
We had a pretty normal crew.
Did you?
And I was the dungeon master.
Okay.
So I loved to tell the story.
Right,
that was my whole thing, right?
Right.
And I loved to make all of them suffer.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, but I played it probably from fifth grade I was probably 26.
I guess I didn't have friends.
I played it until I was an older guy, 26 or 27.
Part of the problem I had as a kid is that my neighborhood was not filled with kids who liked Dungeons and Dragons.
Right.
And I really had no way to get to the kids. And also, because of where I lived, I geographically was being bussed into the school for overcrowding. I lived near one, like, elementary and middle school.
Right.
That I should have went to. It was very near my house. But because of overcrowding, they bussed me to another school.
It's, it's your personal 12 years a slave.
It is. It kind of is. God damn it, give me an Oscar right now. And they would bus me to another school, so all my friends lived 20 minutes away.
Right.
And I could never hang out with those kids. So I sort of had this weird, you know, the neighborhood kids were like tough guy Italians.
Yeah.
And they wanted to throw dirt bombs at everything.
Right,
And I did that too, and that was fun. And, you know, we play football and soccer and stuff.
I grew up in the whitest, like mid-lower class suburb with the same people until I was 18 years old.
So I would have liked to have lived where kids are playing Dungeons and Dragons. I would have played with them more. So I would only get to play it at like a birthday party or something or a sleepover.
Yeah, and that's not worth it. You need
it wasn't.
It's gotta be weeks,
but I would sit there and read the books.
Oh, yeah.
Like work on my characters and buy all the garbage.
For sure.
I just never got to play. It was very weird.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's one of those hobbies that's kind of like that. You can do it all the time and yet not actually do it.
I just found all my dice recently when I was cleaning my house out. Spent a lot of time in my house. Let's talk about you were talking about, what you said at Omar's.
Let me just tease what we're doing. We'll get to Omar's first. We're also going to talk about what happened at the Oscars.
Oh.
And we'll talk about...
Did you watch them?
We'll talk about the debut of Seth Meyers. Hold on a second. Do you want to talk to Corey?
Not. You can talk to him.
I'll talk to him. Hold on a second. I got to bring him up on the... I got to bring him up on this. Yo.
I'm stuck in traffic.
Oh. Well, we started the show.
All right, then. Well, I'll be in the halfway point.
Yeah, the door's open.
The door's open, Corey.
Yeah, the door's open. Just let yourself in and sit down. And we're going to talk about Omeras right now. And then...
Good. I'm glad I'll miss that part.
Yeah, you'll miss that part. And
Now that we know you're coming, we're going to talk about you and get that out of the way
before you show up. We'll get the Corey roast out of the way. And then, we're going to talk Oscars and Seth Meyers and stuff, so you can join us for all that. How's that?
Okay, good.
Sounds like a plan. All right, goodbye.
Sounds great.
Goodbye. Corey's stuck in traffic.
Whatever.
He said he was coming, and he's like, well, I'm on deadline.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm on deadline, too.
We're all on deadline.
Yeah, I got shit.
Everyone is rushing toward deadline.
All right, so anyway, we're going to talk about the Oscars.
Part of my mental problem.
You heard all that. So let me get to this thing we did last
week. It's a good thing I watched the Oscars.
Good, yeah, we have lots to talk about.
Not really.
Last week, maybe not. Nothing good anyway. So I did the show last week, and I know it's on the RSS feed. You've probably already downloaded it. Maybe you haven't listened to it yet, but I did an open mic last week at Omar's Comedy Night. It's a monthly thing that I'm going to host. You've been there many times.
I have.
I've actually hosted that show in the past, but I'm hosting the show. And I invited a bunch of comics out, including Corey and other people who've been on the show. And we did this open mic.
Such as?
Lauren Uhalic was on the show. I'm sorry, Lauren. Samantha Rager was
there.
Lauren Uhalic canceled at the last minute. Maybe she was the only other one that was on the show.
Right.
No, Mike Lundy was there. Who's
Mike
been on
Lundy?
The show as well, very funny guy. And some other comics who you didn't know. And we did this show, and I recorded it. It's on the RSS feed as Joel Radio Live at Omar's. And you guys can download it. It's about 2 hours and listen to it. I want you to listen back to this with me because, for me, my thing, and I'm putting this on myself.
Right.
I'm making this difficult for myself in this sense. I'm writing a new set to open each of these open mics.
So you're a new set every time?
Every time. It's
good.
Once a month.
I think that's good.
It is good. But I'm also decided, you know, normally in comedy you don't write topical.
Right.
But since I'm doing this, I'm going to start writing topical.
Let me interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead.
Joel Radio.
Yeah.
presents.
Omera's Comedy Night.
No.
No?
Joel Radio presents Comedy Night.
Okay, interesting.
Because if something happens.
I get what you're saying, yes.
Where you punch someone in the face, or someone punches you, or everybody, or a place closes down.
Right, then I can move the
show. You can move it anywhere you want to. Joel Radio presents Comedy Night Live.
All right, that's the new title.
There you go.
Thank you, John. There's an innovation right there. So what you're going to hear at the beginning, I'm opening.
I get to hear some of this?
You're going
to
hear my whole set.
Oh, I'm excited now.
And I want you to, because my feeling is that the set, and if you listen to it.
Is this just you?
You're going to hear in the beginning me, and then we're going to listen to another guy from the show, which I'll get to later. But you'll hear my set because my set, I thought it was well written, but it didn't all work live.
Okay.
And I kind of am trying to figure out what worked and what didn't work, and through your eyes. You're not a professional comic, but you've done comedy.
But I know funny.
And you know what's funny, and I think you'll get this stuff. Because at the show, I was...
And I'm drinking vodka.
There was like one joke that I thought was not going to work that worked very well.
Hmm.
But when I think it's not going to work, I sort of don't deliver it well.
Right.
And I'm also not prepared, so I'm sort of half reading these and half delivering them off the top of my head.
Right.
And you know, spontaneously. So it's a little weird.
Have you ever thought about working with a writer?
I could. I just need a good writer.
Well, but here I am.
All right. Well, we'll see how you do on this one. This you can critique me. This is the beginning of so here I am. This is the intro to the show and the theme music I dubbed in.
Welcome to O'Mara's Comedy Night, everybody.
Now I'm gonna Hello,
O'Mara's Comedy Night. The people here and the people, of course, listening. People are listening to the show at home and in their cars.
Now I explained this to you off the air before we started. I had a little bit of an issue technically.
Right.
I recorded the mic through this iRiver MP3 player.
Right.
Through
it's a the little, board. It already sounds a little hot.
It's hot. And,
right.
And I also, and then I had this.
Which for those of you who are not in podcasting and recording industry means it sounds like shit.
Well, it's too loud and it's distorted from being too loud. So.
That's what I meant when it says something.
And I also recorded the audience with the Zoom H1 field recorder.
Yeah.
And then I mixed them together. Now, the one issue when I mixed these together is that because the mic was too hot, I lowered that from where it would normally be in the mix and brought the audience up a little bit to sort of cover for bad mic.
For sure.
And so that's why it sounds a little boomy. Because I did a test record at the January show.
It sounded
perfect.
Right.
But I also swapped out the mic. I'm using a Shure stage mic now, which is actually the one that you're talking about.
Right, the people here and the people, of course, listening. People
so in the beginning, I just plug a bunch of stuff. And
as you should do.
That's my podcast.
I explained to the people live that this is on Joel Radio. And I'm giving
I have blown through this vodka cranberry.
Oh, well, the bottle's right there. You want to freshen it up?
In a minute. I'll listen to this.
But trust me, it's actually happening. So I want to welcome the listeners of JoelRadio.net. If you guys here you haven't heard the show or haven't downloaded it,
I should probably have queued this right up to my start
the website,
doing this
of course,
set,
at JoelRadio.net. And you can follow
we'll
me on Twitter at JoelRadioShow and on Facebook.
Hey, they can hear
much.
These plugs again.
Yeah.
Those are useful.
Why not?
Does everybody feel good tonight?
Here's the first joke.
I feel pretty good. I do. I have to admit, I feel pretty good. I've been getting a lot of rest lately. I've been using that new sleep aid, the Winter Olympics. Is anyone else using this? Is anyone trying that? Yeah, curling.
No audible laugh. You're
joke.
Smiling,
I'm
but
smiling.
Not audible laugh. That's
right.
The opening joke.
Yeah.
Man, I feel pretty good. I've been getting a lot of rest lately.
Oh, just pause on this.
All right, you go backwards.
The Winter Olympics. Is anyone else using this? Is anyone trying that?
I heard someone laugh.
Curling, ice dancing. I'm asleep right away. I'm telling you guys. I hate that Winter Olympics. And everyone hated I think everyone hated this Olympics, too.
There's about 20 people in the audience, including the comics.
All the reporters went, and the first thing they did is they started complaining about this Sochi, Russia, where they held the games, because they said nothing worked in the hotels. There were no doorknobs or light bulbs. And then the town, it was too warm. It was like 50 or 60 degrees in Sochi for these games, and it was melting all the snow. And so it wasn't very good for that either. Now, what I'm thinking is if you wanted to have the Olympics in a town where nothing worked and it was cold all the time and there was tons of snow, we could have had the Olympics right here in Detroit. That's what I'm thinking because...
But I'm bombed.
That's a good... I mean, I said it was a lot of setup to get there.
Right, there's a lot of setup. You walked us there.
But now the premise is set up. I'm breaking down comedy writing.
Right.
The premise is set up.
Yes.
From here on out, it's just examples of... What would the Olympics would be if they were in Detroit?
And first of all, let me just say,
yes,
I am no fan of the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate them.
I hated it too. Yeah, it was bad.
There's nothing I want to watch.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in any of the people.
Uh-huh.
And I have many friends outside of the United States who hate how they know that I'm watching the Olympics, which is I'm only watching American events.
Well, that's all they really show you a lot of
times. In Europe, in any other place in the world, you watch the Olympics.
Yeah.
You watch everybody.
The whole thing, and
Right. Here, I have to learn the backstory about the fucking, you know, whatever luge sliders or whatever it fucking is.
There's 30 minutes of that guy training. And
right,
then
and then 25 seconds of him sliding and not getting the fucking gold.
If you
gold.
Watch the Canadian feed, which we can get here in Detroit, it's more like what you would like. It's
more of that. That's what I want, but I still hate it.
All right, so let's go.
You know, you've got every bumpy road could host the mogul skiing, right? Just take them down Greenfield, and that would work for that. You've got the biathlon, that's skiing and shooting. That's perfect for Detroit. That would fit right in here. Be a great fucking thing. One thing I was thinking.
All right, hold on a second.
The Olympics here in Detroit.
Yeah.
Biathlon.
Yes.
I'm surprised you didn't go with. That's every Saturday night in Ferndale.
Hey,
biathlon.
Well, I wanted to get the gun in Detroit.
All right, okay.
I was going more. It's the Ferndale thing's a little more inside.
All right.
But it's good. It's still a good joke.
All right.
Yeah, we can't give out any bronze because the scrap guy stole all the copper. So there wouldn't be
see the pausing shot. I said the joke was
I do like
we can
that.
Only give out gold and silver medals. We can't give out any bronze medals because the scrap guys.
The scrap guys. I like that joke.
This pausing is bad.
All right, fine. Go ahead. Let it run.
So that's the Olympics bit.
So all right. What else is going
first
on?
Bit down. A minute in.
Let's see what the paper
not
says
a bronze.
Going on. I love it's almost the Oscars are coming up. I love the movies. The Oscars, I think, are this Sunday. I don't know if you guys are watching. I'll probably be watching. I'm a big fag like that. I watch the Oscars and love all these movies. I love those pirate movies. Do you guys like those? I like those pirate movies. I like the most recent one, Captain Phillips. Did you see that one? That was great. Yeah, you could hardly tell Johnny Depp was the Somali pirate, right? He just fit right in. He blended. The guy's a chameleon. The guy's amazing.
Anything, John? You're kind of straight faced. Straight faced. There's a good. Again, you know, this is what happens when you do write comedy.
Right.
And you don't. You know, the first time you do it, to me, that's a strong joke.
Is this the first time you're writing comedy?
No. This is the first time I'm performing this. But when you write a joke,
right.
And you perform it for the first time,
right.
You never know how it's going to do. I mean, I thought that's a good joke. I mean, it has all the hallmarks of a good joke.
I feel like there's some way of when you talk about you love pirate movies.
Well, it's a premise.
And you set up and you say, like, should I be deconstructing it like this?
Yeah, go ahead. That's what I want.
And I love those pirate movies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sure. I think it was wrong to go with somehow or another saying that there was a new Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Okay.
And saying, like, that new Pirates of the Caribbean movie suffered from the fact that they didn't tell you it was a Pirates of the Caribbean World's End, Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean Captain Phillips. They just called it Captain Phillips.
Okay.
People didn't realize how much Johnny Depp went through to look like a Somali pirate.
You're spelling it out a little bit more. I'm letting the audience fill the gaps.
They can't do that.
Well, this audience couldn't.
No.
So maybe the joke is too arcane of a reference.
I think it's too. I think a lot of times you do have to walk people down.
I do. Well, the Olympic thing, I set it up more.
Yes, and
this
they didn't
one,
get it
I
either.
I
plus, you have to realize you're dealing with Omars.
But the other thing is sometimes when you spell things out too much, the audience can get ahead of you. And when you perform, you don't want the audience to be ahead of you.
Right.
You want to get them quick.
Right.
So I said that pirate movie, Captain Phillips. You know, like I'm trying to bang. I never would have thought of Captain Phillips as a pirate movie, but now Joel is explaining.
What if you said that new Pirates of the Caribbean movie?
Well,
Captain
they
Phillips.
They weren't in the Caribbean. They were in like the
yeah, but are any
Ocean.
Of them in the Caribbean? Any of those
I Pirates, think
the Pirates
of the Caribbean is in the Caribbean.
No.
I think so.
There's one part where there's like a Chow Yun Fat is one of the fucking
I don't fucking know. I don't
guys,
see those
right?
movies. I don't really like those movies.
That's in the Pacific.
All right, let's get in. Let's move along. All right, so that bit died. So that one's up. But see, a part of this is that I'm writing these jokes. I'm really only ever going
to
do
it once. You need someone else to help you write jokes.
I don't, because I'm
you
a good
do.
Comedy
you're
writer.
You're a good comedian.
But
like when a musician sits in a fucking room when Harry Nilsson sat in the fucking studio and said, no one tell me what to do.
Yeah.
He fails.
Well, listen, I know.
He's a great fucking musician.
This
He's a great
difference.
Singer.
This
but
is the
people
difference.
Have to reel
listen to
you in.
Listen to me. When you see a stand-up comedian you go to a comedy club on the weekend.
Yes.
You watch a guy on television. That material's been performed dozens, if not hundreds, if not thousands of times.
Right.
This is the first time I'm doing the
joke. Okay.
That's the danger.
Okay.
It's a high wire act, John.
I get it. Let's hear the next one.
Okay, here we go. I'm in a movie bit. This is a bit.
All right. Now we're in a bit.
It's a hunk.
It's an Oscar's bit.
Oscar hunk.
Oscar hunk. Hunk.
Starting now.
I was looking at the best actor nominees. Do you guys know who these people are? Have you seen all these movies? You've got
a lot of setup on this one, but it pays off.
You've got Christian Bale. He's an English guy who plays a New York con man. Okay. You've got Chiwetel Ejiofor, who plays a free man who's sold into slavery and is beaten severely. You've got Matthew McConaughey, who plays a man dying of AIDS in Dallas Buyers Club. And I guess people forgot that Ashton Kutcher played Steve Jobs. That's all I can tell, is that no one remembered. He was a millionaire in his 30s, playing a billionaire in his 30s. It was a stretch. It was some great acting there.
Okay. Now, see, that was the weakest joke as I wrote it. And you laughed more at that than
yes.
the other one.
Yeah, I like that
And
one.
The audience, clearly, as you can hear, laughed a lot at that joke.
Yes.
Now, why was that joke funny to you? Like, how did that, because I get how it worked, you know. Ashton Kutcher is a shitty actor. I'm comparing him to these guys.
Right.
And
I guess maybe because in my brain, I didn't know where you were going.
Yeah, see?
The comedian is
ahead of the
audience.
That's
the whole point of a joke, right?
Right,
is
yeah.
that I know where you're going.
Yeah.
And right. then the reason you laugh is because there's a nervousness where I didn't understand for a fraction of a second.
Uh-huh.
You didn't take me down the path I wanted to go down.
I took you a different direction.
Right.
I gave you three examples of great acting roles, and then I gave you an example of
a terrible acting
role.
Right.
And
so then my brain got nervous, then I found it funny, and I smiled
and
kind of chuckled.
But as the writer, I look at that and go, that's kind of lame.
Right.
I don't know if everyone, maybe people liked Ashton Kutcher as Steve Jobs. I never really saw it. I'm sure
it didn't
make a lot of money.
No one saw it.
All right, so then I go in, and I have to give a little tag.
For that, the number one movie in...
Actually, I had a tag.
That guy liked it at the end. There.
Yeah, there was a muttering of, oh, I guess we got to laugh at
right.
Joel now. He's funny. I had a tag that said, maybe Kutcher will be method and get a debilitating disease, but I guess I was written and I didn't perform it on the night.
What does that mean?
You know how, like, if you're a method actor, you sort of do what the character does?
Oh, right, right.
And I was trying to make it. See, I dropped it because I thought it was going to bomb.
It was a good
thing.
So
I dropped the
tag.
So
you dropped it. Yeah, good.
And the tag would have died.
Very smart of you.
Good, okay. So here we go into this. Now, this next one, actually, I wish Corey was here. He helped me. I needed
Corey. Corey helped you craft this joke?
I wrote the joke, and Corey kind of wrote a tag, if you know what that means. But you'll hear it here. In
sure.
Movie in America right now, for several
number
weeks,
one
has been
movie
the Lego movie.
About.
Did you guys see the Lego movie? Did anyone see that? Yeah, I didn't see the Lego movie, but I stepped on it, and it hurt my foot. No, I did see...
Yeah, that's a funny little... It's not the main joke. It's a
right.
little warm-up.
Sure, sure,
sure. Okay.
It hurt my foot. No, I did see... I did see Amit Jain popping for that one. Thank you, Amit. I did see
I'm
the Lego
the
movie. It was a lot of fun.
Individual.
It was very colorful, a lot of action, a lot of comedy, and it was a lot better than that Lincoln Logs movie I saw last summer, because that was a piece of shit. That was with...
Okay, now you're laughing a little bit at that.
A little bit at that.
A little bit at that. Right. I thought that was... Okay. The thing I ended with was, I thought, my best joke, which we'll get to.
Okay.
I thought that was probably the second strongest joke in the act.
The Lincoln Log joke.
I thought that was great. But here's where the tags come in.
Okay.
Because even if you're not, you're laughing
right.
a little
yeah,
bit
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
But now the tags, this is what really makes it funny,
okay.
John. This is how it's written.
That's,
anyway.
Nothing's That's, funnier than breaking down comedy.
There you go. Go,
I saw last summer, because that was a piece of shit. That was with Dame Judi Dench. Did you see that? It was in black and white. I saw it at the Maple. I hope you guys missed that.
See, now you're laughing good. So the tags worked for you.
Yes.
They helped make it better.
Yes.
Because I needed Corey's advice on the tags. That's what I helped.
Right.
I said, what is a boring movie? And Corey said, you should say it was directed by Ken Burns. I don't know if I said that.
I hope you guys missed that. Do I even do the tags for that, Corey? I mean, there's tags.
Well, these are the new tags. So, yeah, I didn't
okay.
use Corey's.
Right.
Corey's advice was say it was directed by Ken Burns.
Right.
Was that better or worse than the ones that I gave?
I think that's worse.
Okay, so the Judi Dench, black and white,
yeah.
Maple, worked.
Yes.
Okay. What if I had said it was a Merchant Ivory production?
No.
That's kind of an old reference.
It's an old reference.
It's an old, that's an
I wouldn't have been
reference.
Into it.
Okay, so I'm glad. So,
I
okay.
like black and white Judi Dench, Maple.
And you like Lincoln Logs.
Yeah.
That's a good joke. I can do that joke. If I were to do comedy tonight, should that joke be in the act? If I did it tonight, if I had a show tonight, March 6, 2013, would I be able to do the Lego movie joke tonight, and would it work in front of an audience?
Maybe.
Okay, see, I don't know. I think I could do the Olympics thing and that would work tonight.
Right.
I don't know about that, though. See, that's why I'm like, you know, that's why it's hard to write, because sometimes you're writing when you have a...
I'm getting these... you're hitting me with these right off the bat.
I know.
I've got no way to think about it.
Well, that's what I want. I want that...
Initial burst initial, is
yeah,
what you
I
want?
I want that. Okay, here's the tag for the... See, now I'm yelling.
You already suck. It's already gone completely.
Corey's
shit.
Telling me don't do the tags in the audience, but I do them anyway.
No, I'm not going to do the... Well, I'm not going to do the tags.
Let's move on.
Do the tags. Who's this shit show? Is this mine or yours? Really, it can be yours. Come on up here. It's yours right now. No,
I forget.
If the Lego movie being such a success, I think Hollywood has plans to develop the next line of toy movies, old toy movies. There's going to be the Easy Bake Oven movie. There's going to be Sit and Spin and Hungry Hungry Hippos. And I hope I can get cast.
Corey says, lose the tags, which probably was right at that point.
Right.
Easy Bake Oven movie where a girl puts her younger brother's head in the oven. How's that? That's funny. See, now you're laughing, Corey. Fuck you. These are good jokes. I wrote these 30 minutes ago. These are fucking fantastic.
Well, I was supposed to say, a girl puts her younger brother's head in the oven, and it's directed by Martin Scorsese. That's, you know, if you remember Goodfellas, it's a reference.
What if you did a...
It's a Goodfellas reference.
Right.
The guy, he sticks the guy's head in the oven.
Yeah, I don't really...
Yeah.
I missed it.
Well, that whole bit is...
I thought that you were going to say...
Yeah.
You know, they're going for the with the Lego movie.
Yeah.
Like, they're going for the next Easy Bake Oven movie.
Right.
You know, because every time they do one of those, it wins, like, millions of Oscars. How many did Spielberg get for Schindler's List? Right?
You're tying it into the Holocaust.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not going there.
You're not
there.
Going to Holocaust
yeah, I'm
joke?
Not, that's too dark.
Come on.
It's too dark.
People will love it.
Too dark.
They won't.
Listen, I'm an.
Is there a movie where people got?
Edgy,
is there a
look,
movie
first
where?
Of all, this is the least edgy set I've ever put together.
And
in comedy.
I'll tell you what. To
and,
your
and,
credit,
I wrote,
as a comedian,
I wrote a
to
Leno
your credit
esque
as a
7 minutes.
Minute. Stop.
A Leno esque.
As
seven,
your yes. credit,
yes.
I'm trying to compliment you, you
go
fucker.
Ahead. All right, compliment me.
You're hosting a comedy show.
I am.
You are not supposed to be funny.
How dare I be funny? At
you are supposed to be mildly amusing.
Yeah.
So that people will enjoy the comedians.
Okay, that's fine. And I do
and
all
I,
that.
That's what you are doing.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Well, that's, I wrote as if this was a...
I don't want the host of my comedy show
yeah.
to be funnier than my comedians.
That's interesting. That's an interesting point.
I don't want that
well,
to
usually,
happen.
Well, usually the host isn't because just the dynamics of going first makes it harder.
Right, but a lot of and times so, those guys you know, get up and they'll do 4 fucking minutes between every comedian.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
that.
Get
no,
the
bad.
Fuck
no.
off
no, you're
stage,
completely
you
right
cocksucker.
About you're completely right about that. All right.
Now, so I think this is a good opening set for opening for other comedians.
That's why I wrote it this way.
That's what I want.
Then good. Then I'm successful.
It's a comedian, so stop yelling at me.
There's only 3 minutes left. Let's go on.
All right, stop pausing it then.
No, well, the next joke is a got a great laugh, but it's way inside, and
okay.
You'll hear it. You'll hear this next.
It's called Gravity. Did you guys see Gravity? It's great. If you haven't seen Gravity, it's about a woman who's lost in outer space, and all she wants to do is get back down to Earth, or as I like to call it, the CC Dynamite story.
Whoa, that's inside.
That's way inside.
That's inside.
But you know, the audience, the crowd goes wild.
Of course
Omaris.
They do. Yeah.
CC Dynamite is this very weird open mic comic in Detroit. She's been around longer than I have, over 15 years. She gets on stage and makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. She's a mental patient.
I feel like if you went on the road,
yeah,
you right. could stop at any comedy club that you were going to perform at.
Yeah.
And go up to one of the locals
sure.
and say, who's the fucking batshit crazy chick in this town
exactly.
that does comedy?
Right, right, right.
And you could work that joke in every
sure.
city in America.
If I was doing that on television or something, I might say the Amanda Bynes story.
Right,
or
exactly.
Or the
yeah,
Lindsay Lohan.
Absolutely.
Story. Like you would use just a crazy celeb. Like Anne Heche years
right.
ago would have been a good reference for that. So I sort of wrote it, but I did it the local reference.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, anyway.
The podcast have no idea who that is, but in this room.
Ooh, now
that's
the next
a killer joke. That's inside. That's in.
The Corey. Next joke.
Corey explaining the comedy to the young comedy.
Dies a horrible death.
Okay.
And I think it. And I think it's. I don't know. Right I'm explaining. Oh, here's the next joke.
Yeah, I. Here's big new movie news. Did you guys hear this? They cast an actor named Adam Driver from the TV show Girls to play the villain in Star Wars Episode 7. Isn't that exciting? Do you guys know Adam Driver?
Woo!
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to play a Sith Lord whose girlfriend is an overweight hipster with a bad haircut who can't keep her clothes on. It's going to be fantastic. All right. So
I liked it.
That's a good
I liked it.
That's a good joke.
I liked it.
That's a good joke.
Yes.
Problem is, you have to know Girls.
Yes.
You have to know who Adam Driver is on Girls. You have to know what the girl looks like that plays his girlfriend.
I think you only need to know
it's
Girls and Lena Dunham. That's it.
Okay. But I mean, that's
because
I
don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah. It's the guy who plays.
But I know the main character, and I know that the
Adam.
Main character
yeah.
is always annoying and naked.
The character, yeah, Adam is her boyfriend on the show. His name is Adam Driver, the actor's name.
Is that the guy from Inside Llewyn Davis?
No. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's the guy that's in Inside Llewyn Davis. Yeah. So anyway, there's that joke. Now, that joke gets nothing.
Right.
And I'm depressed at this point because I thought that deserved more. I
Corey was the creative consultant on this monologue, and probably for the last time.
Just one joke.
That's sort of a middling joke anyway. I did much better without you. You're fired. Okay, let's move on.
Love it.
One of the best new shows on...
All right, this joke is right up your alley.
Okay.
And I thought this was the best joke I wrote, and this will be in the act from here on out.
All right.
I'm already saying that, regardless of what you say, this is in the act.
Yeah, yeah.
This is in the professional act. This joke.
It's hosted by Dean Cain, who is Superman, and it's called the $10 Million Bigfoot Bounty. Where basically they have a team of people and they go out, and if anyone can capture Bigfoot, they give them $10 million. Yeah. That seems like a pretty good way to hold on to your $10 million, if you ask me, right? I mean, why not $20 million for a unicorn? Maybe they'll do that next season. I don't know. But I guess you could get into that if you believed in shit like that. People might be into it. So I was inspired. I came up with my own show that I'm putting together. It's called the $100 Single Mom Cocksucker Bounty. And
Tenny's laughing now.
That's
like
a mythical tree creature that I'm pretty sure exists. So if anyone knows of one, come see me.
Now listen, I've got jokes.
Now that needs a
I've got
pop.
Jokes
That's
about
a good joke.
I've got jokes about the Bigfoot challenge.
Okay, what is your joke? Go ahead.
I got a text message from a friend of mine when that started.
Yeah.
That said, did you know that it's Bravo or Spike? He goes, Spike is doing a $10 million Bigfoot challenge. They'll give $10 million to anybody that finds Bigfoot. I said, Spike does not have $10 million.
Right.
And he said, and he goes, it's hosted by Dean Cain. And I said, there's your proof that they don't have $10
million. Right. Yeah, right.
Right. There's no money there whatsoever.
Right. Dean doesn't have $10 million.
Offering for Dean Cain's career.
Oh, well, doesn't he do the new bloopers show?
Yeah.
Yeah, at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Corey's here. Hey, Corey.
Hey, Corey.
Well, hello.
We were just listening to you on tape from O'Mara's. Not my set.
You were just yelling that you only helped write one joke.
Yeah,
I did really only punch up one of them.
John just broke down my entire act. So. Okay.
And I told him.
It spared you.
It wasn't. I told him. I said it wasn't funny. But the host of a comedy night should not be the funniest person on the fucking stage.
It's You want to get a couple laughs, but not...
Yeah, you want to make the people happy, make them smile, which is what your act did to me.
Yeah, see, there you go.
And now I'm ready for real comedians.
Which I can't, unfortunately, you're not going to get on the rest of the show.
Yeah, I know, for sure.
But what I'm sort of looking at the show as this is my Tonight Show.
Right.
This is my, I'm the host, this is a monologue.
Right.
You're listening to this at home. It's really for the podcast
for
audience,
sure, absolutely.
Because if I had to go up and do my same act every time I did the show, which you can do if it's a new audience every time, but when it's on a show and it's being broadcast or in this way podcasted, it's really hard to do it that way.
Right.
So that's what I did, and I thank you for your feedback. And I hope people enjoyed it.
And that's why I went up and just pretty much freeformed.
Yeah, we'll let you slide on yours. We're not going
to
play yours.
I have to get another drink.
People can listen to
I have to refresh
Yeah, go get
this.
Another drink. I'll talk to Corey.
All right, you talk to Corey. Oh. Corey, is that a new computer you got there?
It's a temporary Mac I've got.
Well, Corey, the computer Corey used on the show is broken, and I tried fixing it, and Corey tried fixing it. And I'm not sure where it stands. Is it fixed?
It's kind of in limbo.
Sorry. Well, the booze is there, John. Go ahead and grab that, and then you can go mix up.
Oh, talk to this guy.
Yeah, I am talking, of course.
Yeah.
So then I guess we're gonna play, because again, if you listen to this, if you download that show and listen to it, it's about 2 hours. That was my opening 6 minutes there. And then Corey does a set. But again, Corey was probably less prepared than me, I think it's safe to say, and did new stuff and just kind of goofed around. But people can listen to that. They don't have to listen to that now. We're not going to.
Oh, good. All right.
Yeah.
We won't.
But I do want to. Should I think I got to play Nino Brown at least
a
little bit.
The one thing, you know,
Nino Brown.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Go get your drink.
Is that
we'll...
the guitar player from Extreme?
He's not. Yeah.
No, that's Nuno Bettencourt. Yeah.
Why don't we let John get a drink and let the audience listen to Nino Brown?
Oh, yeah, we could just start Nino. I want John to hear Nino Brown, though. He hasn't heard it yet.
You guys talk.
We're talking.
I had to cover for you, Corey.
Yeah. John did a good job. John
was one of those, like, I'm stuck for 20 minutes on the freeway, and there's no
it's
clear
fine.
Signs.
I just got to get this done because I gotta work, so I got to go to the club. In the club. Well, I'll get to Nino Brown, I guess, because he was... Now, what are your other thoughts on Omeras? I mean, you've listened back to the tape.
I didn't hear the whole show, but I listened to some of it, and I heard the Battleship routine.
Right, yeah, you guys did...
Which I kind of enjoyed while I was watching them do it.
Yeah.
And, God, those jokes were pretty
cheesy.
It's
a little too visual, maybe.
Well, if you see the guys with the Battleship game, it kind of...
It kind of works.
Enhances it. I liked the idea behind it.
Yeah.
I just didn't.
Right. Like I mean, you give those guys tons of points for originality. Maybe not for the execution.
Well, the jokes they came up with were real howlers. And a couple of them were just so. There you go. That's better. A couple of those were kind of inexplicable. You didn't even really know.
Right.
You had to stop and go, this is where the joke is.
So you'll hear that on the show if you listen to it?
But I like Alan and Michael.
Yeah, Alan and Michael are funny guys. They do a good job. Yeah. So maybe we'll have... See, that's a thing that's also I like, that they did it on the podcast that way. So if they wanted to come back, they could do a regular set, and they could come back and do that. And they wouldn't be repeating themselves. People
sure,
wouldn't be listening
sure,
to the same
sure.
thing twice in a row. And then Corey did a set. Mike Lundy returned and did a set. I can't remember the last time I've even seen Mike do comedy. It's been years, so I was glad to have him back. You get Samantha Rager, who was on one of the last shows you did here in the studio.
And Sam said I really enjoyed. She's got this really weird, low-energy style.
Yeah.
She literally had her... head on the table.
Yeah, she was sitting down at a table with her head down as she performed some of that set for you. So, I wish I had good pictures. That's something I got to yell at Tenny about, because Tenny's got a good camera.
Well,
he's got to come out and take some good pics so I can share those. And a bunch of other guys were good. Michael Jeter was good. I thought Marty Smith was kind of funny, which he's kind of a weird old guy who's a lawyer.
Marty Smith had a very old-fashioned setup punchline gag.
Well, I liked the Marty Smith set, though. I thought it was fun.
Which, it's a different style. It's definitely a different
And who else did we have? A.J. Rice was there, who was old, drunk, and black. I believe he got pulled over on the way out.
He absolutely
the cops pinched A.J. Rice on
and
the
I
way
gave,
out.
And I gave, after the fact, I gave a warning to our African-American comedy friends.
Sure.
That Berkeley is the original home of the DWB. So please be careful if you come out.
Right. And then I guess I'll just get to the guy. Now, there's this guy. Now, I'd done the show, like I said, in January, and I it wasn't broadcast or anything. It was sort of a test. And then I came up with this. So this guy was there on the January show, but it was late in the show. And he goes, hey, man, I want to get. And this guy was kind of like, I don't know what this guy's deal was. He seemed like he might have been on. He was probably high for sure. And he was a young black guy, and he was definitely high, maybe drunk as well. And he said, I want to get on. I said, okay, I'll put you on the February show.
Well, they came
and
he said,
right, no, I'm saying this is in January, the guy comes in.
Oh.
And he says, I'll put you on the February show. But this guy was so, like, crunked out, I was just like, he won't remember the February
right.
show.
Let's right? get rid of him.
Yeah, we'll just get rid of him on the January show. February comes, he'll forget about it. So I'm getting ready to do the show, and he calls the club and asks for me. And the manager of the restaurant's like, Joel, you have a phone call? And I pick it up, and it's this guy. Hey, man, it's Nino Brown. I need to get on your show tonight. And I go, well, I've already got a lineup of guys, but why don't you show up? I'll see if I can get you on or not.
Right.
But so meanwhile, I'm thinking, oh, this guy's been chomping at the bit for a month.
Right.
This guy's probably been at home hard writing.
Yeah, getting ready.
Writing
He's
Lego
on
movie
board.
Jokes, something. This guy's polishing an act.
Right.
He's had a month.
He was polishing something.
He had a month to put this together.
Right.
So this guy finally shows up. We're midway through the show.
Mm-hmm.
It's Nino and two of his homeboys.
Right.
And some white woman. They all look like they just walked out of a detention center somewhere. I don't know who this is. I mean, I mean, is that safe to say, Corey? I mean,
what was that?
Corey was there.
I haven't been on my page for
2 months. I'm looking at
months.
John's Facebook page.
Concentrate on the show that people are listening to.
This Nino Brown. So as soon as this guy walked, so he and his posse.
Yeah.
Much like every black guy's got a production company.
Sure, yeah, which you'll hear. That's a funny bit.
I said that on the show.
Yeah.
But every black guy seems to have like a posse.
Yeah,
always
he's got a crew.
Have an entourage.
He's got a crew. He's got.
You know, K. Dilla.
Yeah.
All and those guys. Poke.
Well, listen.
Little Anfernee.
Here's what I'm, you just slightly on that bit, what you're just talking about, so like right? Hey.
It's okay, go ahead. I'm queuing it up. Go ahead, keep going. Christ. I'm queuing it up. It's good.
When was the last time you, as a white guy,
yeah,
went to a predominantly black place by yourself? You see what I'm saying?
Unless I'm doing comedy.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Often. No.
Not very often. No.
Right.
Right? No. So when you're a black guy and you're driving into the white suburbs of fucking Berkeley,
you gotta bring somebody
with you, right? Because who's going to call? Who's going to call WDIV when the cops are beating you up?
Well, as evidenced by one of the comics getting pulled over.
Yeah, well, that's the
Berkeley
thing.
Berkeley is enemy territory.
Yes. Yeah, he.
I grew up there, so I know.
AJ probably needed a...
All right, let's hear this bit. Let's hear this month-long polishing act.
So finally, he shows up halfway
you
through.
You ever heard the phrase, polishing a turd?
Well, let's listen. You fuck with that nigga. Let me try to find it. Here comes Nino Brown.
All right.
He's on.
What's
turn.
Up? I didn't pull my pants off, switching and sagging and shit. Is that all right?
Yeah.
What's up, man? You Facebooking?
Always.
Yeah, always.
No,
always. What's up with the white boy in the corner? He had the beast on. Y'all saw that nigga with the beast sweater on and shit? His shit was back here like the wind was coming like, oh, shit, nigga, I'm stinging, niggas.
He's working the room. He's roasting everybody.
It sounds like he's
talking to Michael Jeter. I think he's now talking to either Michael Babish or Mike Lundy. I'm not sure. I think he might be talking to Michael Lundy.
How can you tell anything?
Well, I was there and I saw, right. So I'm trying to explain for you.
A lot of consonants in what he's saying. Not too many vowels, but there's a lot of consonants.
I'll tell you what. When this guy walked to the stage.
Yeah.
I was sitting with a friend at the they sat her at the front table.
Sure.
So she was by herself. So I went over and sat with her. And then when this guy,
but we'll get to her because he's going to talk about her.
The guy came on stage, though, I got up and left.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I was like, I want no part.
You left
of this.
Your friend alone to
as,
sit there.
No, as soon as he hit the mic, yeah. I went peace out.
Yeah. You. Yeah. That's
and
right.
I went over. I went back to the bar.
Right here. Get up for Chloe. Chloe Kardashian. Oh shit.
He's talking about Adrian right now.
Grandma.
He's calling her Khloe Kardashian.
Which, she's blonde. I don't know what...
I don't know what he...
How.
Let me hear this act.
All right, I know.
What up, dude? I'm up here on air. I'm up here on air. Shit. Oh, wait.
Look at Teddy.
Well, you know, hey.
Everybody... What's going on, man? I'm here up here laughing. What's going on? I'm up here hype. Oh, shit.
It's like a dick in my fucking face. Like, oh, shit.
You're talking about the shape of the microphone.
Oh, shit. It's on my face. Oh, shit. I suck it. Oh, no. I was that bitch. Oh, shit. Oh, my fucking God.
This is a disaster.
Yeah.
A month it took to put this together.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Well, you know, that's the thing for me is because I'm giving the guy the benefit of the doubt, and I'm sort of going, okay, this guy's worked for a month. Let's give him a shot.
Right.
It would be wrong of me to not give this guy a shot, even though he looks like he's going to sound like this, but in the back of my mind, I go, maybe this guy's written some funny stuff.
Did he know anybody else we know? Or
I don't think he knew. I don't think he's ever done comedy before.
But the other thing is, too, is you never know, like, at what point this is going to turn into a bit.
Right. You know who's going to bring him.
Like, yeah.
No, gotcha, guys.
I knew at no point.
But in my brain, I'm like, okay.
You're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
I'm waiting for the, yeah.
It doesn't happen. Let's continue with some.
Hey, we all, you on TV, nigga. Right. So be cool, you know, no other shit. You know what I'm saying? We keep it low key. You know what I mean? What up? I used to fuck this one bitch. He had one whole leg and one half leg. And her half leg was turned backwards.
I can translate if anyone wants that. He was fucking a girl.
Bitch,
one
full
one,
leg and one half leg, and her half leg was turned backwards.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying? Something like, y'all have some bullshit. Right? What the fuck y'all doing? The fuck y'all doing? Y'all here like y'all whack and shit. You like Mr. Brown. Meet the Browns.
Real one?
Meet the Browns. I thought I met the Browns.
He's getting a lot of nervous laughter from the audience.
There's almost something like a bit in there.
Right.
What's the worst thing a girl can say to you to make you mad and shit?
This is a setup. What's the worst thing a girl can say to make you mad?
What's the worst shit she can say to make you mad? Nobody?
No.
That bitch be like, and what my ex said, she was like, how a nigga nut taste on lip last night? I was like, what the fuck that was? I thought that was ranch. You need to keep fucking with that nigga. That nigga tastes good.
All right. Anybody want me to translate?
No.
Did anyone understand that?
I think so.
Okay. He was with a woman.
Nut sauce tasting like ranch dressing.
There was another man.
Another man's nut.
Semen.
How does another man's nut
was
sauce
on her
taste
lips, and he
on,
tasted
on
it,
my lips?
And he said it tasted like ranch.
Right.
And he kind of enjoyed it.
Right.
Wow. That's daring. I gotta work that into that Adam Driver
one of
joke.
The after you right? after you explain that could... after you explain that in like the 20 years you've done this podcast, that was one of the longest pauses of silence. It was a legitimate 15 seconds of us just looking at each other.
Good, nigga, let's go. Let's go, nigga. That nigga John. What up, John? Smoke all nigga cigarettes and shit. You know what
I think he's talking to his friend now.
Smokeless.
But you were not there, Tenny.
New 400s in the box.
A different John.
No 100s in the box. Like, damn, John, what the fuck, nigga? I had like 100 cigarettes. You know, I had like 20 left.
Let me also say
that
in the long and illustrious history of our podcasting career, the word nigger's never been said.
Well, that's like...
could be the all-time record.
Whenever the audience got quiet, he would just yell nigger at the top of his lungs.
Yeah.
That's good.
That one
I fuck with a white girl. She, you know, a white girl's good. She might not want me to talk about her. She over there at the corner.
He's talking about the girl he brought.
Okay.
White girls cook, clean, eat your ass.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Like, even when you want to take a bath and shit, you be like, that? You going in like that? I'm like, that? Go ahead, man. Fuck it. My ass might be nice. I'm like, I ain't saying no bad. Go ahead, eat that ass, baby.
Now,
John's loving it.
I do.
Don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying?
Wait a second, pause it.
This is like,
you know,
Dave Chappelle
we've
on
talked
crack
about,
or
we've
something.
Talked about this.
Yeah.
Off mic.
Yeah.
For you guys know me.
Yeah.
You know that I love going to open mic comedy nights.
Yes.
To watch exactly this.
Exactly this, right.
Exactly
and,
this.
And, the rest of the show was all guys who tried, who had acts,
this
who
guy,
had material.
This guy, I will see.
You want
if you put him
a
up
fan.
Again.
You're a fan of
I will thing. Be right. In hysterics. Right.
Well, I will bring him back if,
all right. Please
if I can find him.
Don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? It's going down.
And now,
it's going down on the ass end tip. John, you can take your car and get comfortable.
Now, meanwhile, in the audience, I'm figuring out how I'm going to get on stage and get the mic from this guy.
Right.
Without getting, you know, stabbed in the ribs. I'm trying to figure that out. So.
There's times when you do these open mics.
Right.
And there was a guy I got in a headlock. Or,
yeah, he put a.
I've gotten in a couple fights.
Yeah, you had a guy, yeah.
At Bart's, a kid wouldn't get off the mic, and I grabbed him and put him in a headlock.
Yes.
And then at O'Mara's, there was a guy that wouldn't get off, and there was like a shoving match.
Right.
And then, like, audience members came up and like shoved him.
Sure.
The guy just refused to leave.
I was going to make a really hacky joke in there, but
you can.
I left it out. I was going to say, you shouldn't have been afraid of going up on stage and getting him off and getting stabbed in the ribs. You should have got him off stage by just holding up a plate of ribs.
I should have bought him ribs, yes.
That's funny because one time I brought a slice of cake. CeCe Dynamite.
Yeah,
design,
I remember that, yeah.
And I brought a slice of cake and tried to lure her off the stage with it.
Did it work?
No.
No.
Well, we talked about CeCe Dynamite because I did that CeCe Dynamite joke. Right?
Oh, God.
My man biting his nails and shit.
Ah!
You okay,
Nick?
You home? You want some Logan's? Longhouse? Some shit like that?
I don't know what.
No, I'll tell you what. Stop that right now. You know what he's doing?
He's asking if someone wants to go out to Long...
He just asked if somebody was hung, and now he's making a joke about Longhouse, right?
Which is a restaurant, but it's not really...
But you know what he's doing?
What's that?
In his drug-addled fucking brain...
Yeah.
Is he's doing the original first Bernie Mac routine.
Yeah?
Yeah. Where Bernie Mac walked out and was like, I'm hung shit. When I pull my shit out, the room gets dark. I'm hung low. Like, he did a whole, like, it's somewhere in this guy's mind.
Really?
He's remembering Jeff Comedy Jam from, like, 20 years ago.
You got a point, because a lot of, I find this, and I'm sure I'll get slammed for it if anybody listens to this show.
Yeah.
Black comedy is kind of like rap in that it's not, it's built on other stuff.
Exactly.
It's all derivative of what came before.
Samples.
It. Yeah.
It's like,
all right.
And that's okay. Like, white guys are, like, assiduously, like, I'm not a hack. I didn't steal that material.
Right.
Dennis Leary, I made a joke the other day, and he still can't get, he did a couple bits that were too close to Bill Hicks stuff earlier on.
Yeah, for sure.
And nothing he's done in 20 years has gotten that stain off him.
Right.
White guys will be like, that's mine. I wrote it. Original.
But that,
and black guys will be like, they'll build off some shit.
That guy is doing the first Def Comedy Jam Bernie Mac routine.
Let me see if I can...
I ain't got no sushi. I probably look at my sushi and be like, nigga, I got prison. Nigga, you know what I'm saying? Life in prison.
Right when he says, know what I'm saying, is exactly at the point that I have no idea what
when
he's
people,
saying.
When,
that's
when
right
any,
when he
when
says
anyone,
that.
When
you know.
When anyone says, know what I'm saying, it's because they know you don't know what they're saying.
Be in jail and shit, be clamoring like they got some money and shit. They be like, TJ, like, ooh, hey, you don't make a face when you behind your girl and shit, you hear that shit like, ooh.
Wait, now he's and talking
then, like,
to ghosts.
Like, wait, hold on. Top of you and shit.
He's making faces while he's banging his girl,
Joel,
I think is the
right.
Let's ask a paranormal investigator. Were those sounds from the afterlife?
Well, could you play those to scare people at one of the ghost
I could play this to scare people.
What? Could you, hold on.
Well, Nino Brown dies and
instead of playing EVPs and ghost voices and stuff, I'll play Nino Brown's routine.
Right, all the comedians that died at O'Mara's that night are living.
We'll see if the ghosts respond.
Yeah, let's see.
We'll go play this.
I'm double dribbling this shit. I'm dribbling this water one time this shit. Shot on the titties and shit. She's like, oh, Milky. Milky Way is time, nigga. It's Milky Way.
Listen to the audience rollicking with laughter.
It's just the audience is just scared to do anything.
I see niggas up here with the battleships. Y'all see the battleships? I thought
he's making fun of the battleships.
Bingo. I thought like uno out, nigga.
Joel
uno out, nigga. Uno out, uno out. Hey, I'm making face back. Ooh,
it sounds like talking to Zdorsky.
Ooh, shit, bitch, I'm in that ass. Bitch, bitch, I'm in the dead. Ooh, I'm about to die. Hold on. Come on.
Now, what a lot of people don't realize is that this is a 21-year-old Jewish kid.
It's incredible.
From Huntington Woods.
He just got out of Hebrew school.
Right, yeah.
And he rolled right over.
And this is the bit. This is his Andy Kaufman.
He can't have much left. I want to get to the end just because I think I made
fun. He can't have much left. He hasn't started yet.
I know.
He's just made sounds for 6 minutes. Milky Way.
I'm begging you, we need to make the Nino Brown sound generator.
Right, if you had drops, maybe we'll bring those back.
Nino Brown drops.
And maybe I'll...
Listen, did he give you permission to record this?
Yes, I have a signed release.
I'm putting this out as a CD, Amazon direct release.
That's fine. Now you have
99 cents.
You have my permission.
The sounds of Nino Brown.
Just cut it up into like each track.
This is the greatest. Remember when people used to buy sound effects CDs?
Yeah.
Like because you needed a
the sounds
dog
of the hood. Nino Brown.
Yeah, Nino Brown presents the sounds of the hood.
Will this be available on CD Baby?
CD Baby
and Amazon.
And Amazon.com.
Who is that?
Oh, it's okay. Rogelio Mills.
Hey, ho, what if you come fast, though? Hey, ho, what if you come fast? What if you come fast, though? She be got like an excuse and shit. You be like, ooh, I come fast, ooh. So what's with my man and shit? You know what I'm saying? You know you're in your situation. I love you. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? It ain't you, it's me. I love you. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just really worried. Very perplexed.
You know what I'm saying, baby? You can work it out.
I mean, it's a psychotic. Maybe it's, the guy's like a schizophrenic.
I was going to talk on this episode of Joel Radio. At some point, I was going to talk about my mental breakdown.
Yeah.
I guess I haven't had one.
Not as crazy as this guy. Yeah.
No, this is.
Well,
this proves to me that I am absolutely fine.
Clean bill of health.
Yeah. I am. I'm going to live to be 100.
Well, he's, you know.
This guy's on stage melting down like a fucking cheap birthday candle.
But crazy or not, there's something in his head that goes, this is going to get him. That last one maybe didn't work, but you know, because you know, as a comic, there is some mentality of, and I know he's not a comic, but there has to be something in him, innate in a human being who's at least heard comedy in the past of that one didn't work. Well, let's build.
I don't think so.
We hear it all the time.
Yeah,
here's the problem. Some fucker told this guy he was funny.
Yeah, his buddies or something.
And this is the problem in most open mics.
Yeah.
This guy's hilarious to his friends, who are probably laughing at him because he's a half a retard.
No, yeah. I've acknowledged that when I've done stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
You know, you guys have told me like to not say that I'm not a stand-up comedy or
right,
a stand-up
yeah.
comedian,
right.
whatever.
Sure.
But one of the things that I've said when I've done open mic is, my name is John Tenney. I'm not funny, but people who aren't funny have told me I'm funny.
Oh.
Like, that's how I acknowledge that. Right. Because when you're sitting in a fucking office or you're sitting in a car and everybody's right. high.
Yeah.
You're the funniest
you're
guy
the funniest
in the car
yeah, yeah.
where everyone is high and no one is funny.
I don't know if I've ever articulated this on the show as clearly as I'm about to.
Yeah.
That's the worst people to ask if you're funny.
Oh, sure, that's fucking worst.
Yeah.
Because they're not funny. You're right.
Yeah.
Let me announce this now for anybody who ever wants to do comedy.
Yeah.
If the people at your office think you're funny.
Yeah.
They don't know a goddamn thing.
You're not funny.
Right. They're none of them are
right.
funny.
Well, no, if you're funny in your office, you can be a comedian in your office.
Yes.
But the office doesn't going to pay you any money. You know what I mean? It's not a club.
When Joel and I sit in the back of the club watching you with our arms folded, take that to fucking heart.
Yeah.
I'm laughing at your set, you're fucking funny.
But you know what? It's funny because you'll sometimes hear a comedian say, like, I was the class clown.
Yeah.
The class clown never ends up being the comedian.
No.
The class clown is the guy who's watching the class clown going, that's not fucking
funny. Yeah, the comedian
funny.
Is
Why
the guy
are they
who's
laughing
observing
at him?
And making thoughts about
him. I was not class clown.
Right.
I was most sarcastic. I did win that.
Yeah, so because you were watching the class clown saying, that guy's not fucking funny.
Exactly. Yeah, I was sort of the same way. I could be funny, but I also like would be quiet at times, and then I would speak up, and I'd be funny, and then I'd shut up for an hour.
Right,
and
exactly.
Once in a while, I'd chime in and be the funny guy. Yeah, there's like less than 3 minutes left.
Ooh, all right, go ahead.
So what's on my mind and shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're in your situation. I love you. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? They chose me. I love you. You know what I'm saying? Things could get better.
I might be saying, because at some point I went around to all the comics. I think, Corey, maybe you weren't there. But I know I went to Mike Lundy and Mike Jeter, who were the two biggest
guys.
Right,
he said, help me get this
and
guy
I said,
off stage.
I said, do you have my back if something goes, I'm about to walk up.
Right.
Do you have my back? And they both said yes. So those guys can handle themselves. I would have trusted those
but
guys.
But, you know, Mike's got priors. Don't get him involved.
Right. I don't know, whatever, but I'm just saying.
I came back in by
Corey, please, I'm trying to listen
to
Nuno Brown.
Excuse me.
Nino Brown.
Nino Brown.
Nuno Buto.
Things could get better.
This guy got nominated for an Oscar, right? For Captain Phillips?
Yes. Maybe I could back your heart again.
So I should have called. Should I?
He's the actual hijacker.
Should I have called back my Captain Phillips joke from 2 hours previously?
Absolutely. If you should have walked up on stage and said, "Thank you very much, Mr. Brown." If none of you recognized him, he was also the ununderstandable Somali from Captain Phillips.
Well, I do a joke at the end.
Planet of the Water Apes.
Oh, jeez.
Mouthful my dick again one time.
The Water Apes.
You can't do that on the show.
Oh, come on.
That's wrong.
We did that before. Okay.
Yeah, we were at Coney Island.
We were at dinner one night.
We were all very slap happy.
Yeah.
I did not mean that.
Let's not go any further with this bit.
All right, let's finish Nino Brown and move on. We still got to talk about the Oscars. We still got to talk about John's mental breakdown. We got to talk about Seth Meyers.
John just had a mental breakdown right here.
Look. 2 months.
All right, here's the thing.
Wait, I'm trying to listen to Nino Brown.
And then we'll all talk.
I would have missed my favorite part.
Oh, you got your man's about to run out.
Well, yeah. Well, it's,
wait, what was that?
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm trying to get him to wrap up. You just heard me.
Look at the waveform.
Right, I know. I can see that.
Oh.
John, I'm going to give you this audio. When we're done, I'll give you the wave.
Thank you.
Can you go back a second and hear that noise again? Feel free.
Joel Radio presents Nino Brown.
Hard to rewind. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
I love you.
Let me just let him go, man.
Things could get better.
I love you. You need to send that to Amy some kind of way on her phone or something.
Maybe we can work it out.
When you open a card
maybe
that you bought for a dollar.
Your heart again.
At the dollar.
I love you.
I love you.
Never knew the word love had two B's in it.
My dick again one time. And then suck it, and I might could get hard.
Watch the wave.
And then we can work it out. What the fuck is that? I'm gonna say, you got your man's about to run out.
The computer got confused.
This is, I think, is what he said. Watch your walking big in your room. Does anybody know what that was?
How is this fucking... But see, here's the problem.
Yeah.
Personally, I left the room and was like, yeah. I want no part
of it. You
might
have come around...
This guy's my favorite comedian I've ever heard.
I can hear me whisper. I can hear me muttering to some of the other guys, like, hey, we got to go. And I think I say right here, it's time to go.
Oh, your coat on a prepaid account?
No, I'm...
Oh, your coat on layaway?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
All right, y'all. I'm about to get out the fucking thing, nigga. I did my thing, nigga. They got tight shirt on. His shirt tight, too. They in love over in the corner. Like, you want to let her go? If she fuck with another nigga, you were like, nigga, get the fuck back, nigga. Khloe Kardashian, you're like, oh, my God, where Lamar at? Oh, my God. Mr. Brown's like, oh, my God. If it's gonna come out with another episode.
He's summarizing
his
segment.
Back,
he's
like,
redoing his whole act.
What the fuck? He's thinking like, my shirt waving, nigga. I'm about to fly out the fucking. Oh my God. This nigga poking dots. Oh my God. I'm rapping like I'm rapping, nigga. I ain't really rapping, nigga. I'm just talking about niggas. I'm a fool ass nigga. Oh my God.
I just start applauding to get everybody.
Nino, that was terrific. That was amazing. Oh, my God. I've never seen... What a way to end the show. Nino Brown bringing it. Well, I'll tell you what, Nino... While Nino was on, Cat Williams called and said, what the fuck is this? He had no idea. Even he couldn't figure it out, so it was amazing. Thanks, Nino. It was awesome, man. That was
all right,
great.
There's Nino Brown from America.
My favorite new comedian. He's replacing Pontius.
Pontius, yeah.
Pontius. He's replacing...
Well, that was quite a set, and you can hear that whole show... Not, we just heard my set and Nino Brown set, and then there's of course an hour and something in the middle there. So
holy smokes!
Yeah, of comedy. Yeah, so he was crazy.
Wow.
Because you know, one of the goals of putting these open mics on the podcast is
to
that,
stop people from doing open mic.
Well, no, it's because you know, for years me and Corey have seen these sets. You've
right.
seen them too. You've
yeah,
come
yeah.
to the shows,
yeah.
the club bar shows, the O'Meara shows, and to have a document of it,
yeah.
and to finally be able to share with the audience. In real time as it happened,
right.
what exactly it was like to be at one of these and
you
know,
yeah,
one
for
of these.
Sure.
And I think we captured it there.
I do appreciate that, and there's a couple nights at Bart's I wish we had documented.
Yeah, exactly.
But a lot of it's agony, and that at Nino Brown.
Well, it was agony.
Well,
you know, I do
love terrible open micers.
Yes.
I mean, we jokingly talked about that a minute ago,
yeah.
but I really do love, yeah. because... I feel like, okay, you releasing this,
yeah.
he might hear that
yeah,
and never do it again.
May never do it again.
You know?
Well, his parole officer might hear it, more importantly.
Right.
Well, my thing is that, and Corey gets on me, because I think Corey doesn't understand that, I know the difference between good stand-up and bad stand-up, but what's hilarious about Nino Brown is it's a guy who has no clue how bad it is.
Right.
There's a guy who thinks he's doing well while he's doing bad.
Yeah.
And he also spent this, like I said, there's a month of him... You know, there's this backstory that
isn't
people understand.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't
there's
it amazing?
There's a month that this guy had to come
I'd
up
like
with something.
I'd like to ask this of the two of you, right, who have done comedy for a long time and have done it professionally.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing that, I mean, the few times that I've done open mic and, like, tried to do it.
Yeah.
Okay? When my shit's not working.
Yeah.
Like, I am when you hear comedians talk about dying,
yeah,
right? I am dying.
Oh, it hurts.
When,
yeah.
It hurts, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so when guys get up there and they're just fucking clueless,
yeah,
like as comedians who have done comedy professionally,
well.
Like, isn't it frustrating,
yeah,
to be like, have a fucking conscience, have some self-respect,
yeah,
have,
it's
like...
It's painful to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joel, I used to get in his case because there were a lot of wackos and weirdos that came to Club Art. And Joel kind of, I think, really enjoyed it on a certain level,
uh-huh,
and enjoyed watching these guys who were completely insane. I didn't. I had the same feeling you did.
Well...
It hurts my feelings to see people that insane... That's why I hate, okay, CC Dynamite's not funny,
sure,
to me anymore.
Okay, yeah.
Everybody else is finding how funny she is.
Right.
I've been over it for years.
Well,
for
she's,
sure.
she's an extreme case. My thing is, like, I don't, when it happens to me, it fucking hurts like hell. Exactly. When I did that girl's joke in,
right,
the open that you heard,
right,
and nobody laughed, I went like, that's a good joke. You'd be like, oh, that's a good joke.
Yeah.
But it died, and it's just like, oh, a little bit of me dies when the joke dies.
Right.
Even though I feel like this is a good joke, I wrote it as a good joke, I think it's going to work, and then it doesn't, and you're just like, ugh. Now, I think I know what is a good joke and a bad joke more than most of these guys on open mic, because I've been doing it for so long, but you still never know.
Right.
And it still hurts like hell to do them.
Right.
And that's why when you get guys who are professionals and they do the same thing, or you see guys, you see guys who they do pretty much the same show every,
yeah,
time.
Yeah, over and over again.
That's
so
why they
it's
do
the,
it.
One of the worst things in the world.
But
I did a podcast recently,
yeah,
where I talked and we were saying, like, when years, this is going back decades, Dennis Miller was super funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then to see him live and to see him basically just do the entire recording,
he would do
word
his,
for
his
word.
HBO special or his,
it album, wasn't, yeah, fucking funny anymore.
Well, yeah.
Because
his stuff, you know, his stuff is so precise.
It's so precise,
yeah,
that when you see it live, you're like, this is a,
well,
fucking disaster.
Generally, guys, Dennis Miller, I guess, was the exception, but normally when guys do that is they tour and tour and tour with this material.
Right.
Then they do the special last.
Right.
And that retires the material.
Exactly.
Then they come out with something fresh that they can tour and tour and tour. So when you go see a guy, you're not going to see what he did previously.
But I mean, I know as a musician, I understand this.
Yeah.
Like, there's a classic quote from Jimmy Page where he said, the problem with Stairway to Heaven, mm-hmm, is that it had the guitar solo was recorded and people heard it.
Yeah.
I never wanted to have to play that guitar solo for 50 years.
Yeah.
Because as a musician... He wants to be able to, when they get to the guitar solo, he,
yeah,
wants to be able to play whatever he wants.
Do, yeah.
But because of the recording,
yeah,
he has to play the same fucking,
sure,
solo,
yeah,
that you hear on the,
right,
record.
When I listen to Springsteen, like there's a famous Springsteen bootleg. Before Born to Run was recorded,
mm-hmm,
he went out and did this show, this famous radio broadcast, where he did about half of Born to Run, including Born to Run and Thunder Road and stuff, and they weren't the finished versions.
Right.
So they had different lyrics and,
yeah,
the solos. Like, they do Jungle Land, and the famous Jungle Land sax solo is actually Bruce playing it on the guitar.
As soon as you talk
and
about Bruce Springsteen, I can't,
I show, know, but you, I'm just trying to give you... All right.
I understand.
I tuned out, too.
I understand. That's
what I'm about. All right, well, anyway, that was Nino Brown. That was me. Thank you, John, for your criticism of,
yeah,
my jokes.
No.
And I'm going to write a fresh batch for this month's show.
Is it the last Thursday?
It'll be March 27th at O'Mara's in Berkeley, Michigan.
I'll be there.
So John will be there. You want to perform, John? You want to commit to performing?
Yes.
John will be performing.
John will be doing a cover of Nino Brown's song.
I'm actually going to word for word.
Can you, somebody,
sound
somebody
for sound.
Said, and you might know this better than me because you write books and stuff, is there someone that I could send that tape to that would transcribe,
no,
that? That could have this written, like a typed version of this?
Yeah.
There is somebody that would do that, like,
yeah,
on the internet? I,
yeah,
could find,
absolutely,
somebody?
There's,
okay,
there's a autistic kid behind my house.
Well, I'm...
Who won't take it for a go?
I may
about
have
about five
to have,
bucks.
Well,
it might take him about a month and a half.
There's an old drunk who's half Chippewa who hangs out by the bus station.
Right,
he has a radio on his belt.
The only reason he's half Chippewa is because he's got one full leg and one half leg backwards.
Well, I'm glad John appreciates Nino Brown, and I hope you did at home.
Yeah.
I thought that was.
I appreciate what you're trying to do.
Well, I'm trying to capture this thing.
Nino Brown's a lot funnier listening to him than,
yeah,
he was in the room.
Well, it was a little
where you were afraid he was going to stab.
Afraid
somebody.
He was going to pull out a gun,
yeah,
and shoot us all. But what I'm trying to do is you know, my set is I'm trying to write new timely material,
right,
that I can do once and get it out there.
Have you guys talked about talk about timely material?
Yeah.
I'm going to move us away from your,
okay,
live shows.
Yes.
Have you guys talked about Fallon?
Yes, we did
a whole episode.
We did a whole episode on Fallon. We can talk about Seth Meyers this week.
Because I wasn't here and I didn't hear it.
Sure.
But really quickly, did you guys talk about Fallon and Seinfeld?
In what way? In what
like? Did you talk about Seinfeld doing stand up on Fallon?
He did do stand up on
Fallon. No, I missed it.
I saw that. It was maybe the second episode.
It was a fucking disaster.
Well,
it was a 70-year-old man trying to talk about Instagram and Facebook.
Well, that's Jerry's thing. Is he's a technophobe now?
Yeah, but
I've heard him do these bits before.
But I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well,
like it really is. He's turning into like, I'm swinging my cane at those things. Why do people have to use the mail? Email me.
Who did I see that was on,
ridiculous.
It was a little bit. I'm with you.
On one of the comedians with cars getting coffee, I can't remember who he was talking to, but they were talking about how their audience changes.
Yeah.
Over the years,
right.
And they're both getting old.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been Louis C.K. or whatever. But he was like, you know, now it's like, no, it could have been Louis. It was somebody older.
Okay.
And they're like, now my grandmother, they're like, you know, my grandmother likes you. They come up and say that. And Jerry was like, I'll take that. That's good.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, he's, you know, Jerry is a guy that likes to keep his material fresh.
I'll throw this.
And so he's writing about what's happening today. And that forces
He's writing about what's happening today to him. To him.
Okay, but Jerry never wrote about his life. He never wrote about his personal relationships.
Okay, now he is.
He never writes a little bit because he writes baby material and you have to take the baby out.
Who has to walk the baby? I didn't get to hear about your guys talking about Fallon. No. I will just say that it's a fucking disaster.
Well, it is a disaster.
It's a disaster.
First of all, if I can just plug the Twitter for joelradio.net again. I live tweeted a whole Fallon. I'll get you some Fallon.
At Joel Radio Show.
This is
Hashtag lonely.
Let me give you a Fallon. Here's a Fallon. What are you laughing about, you assholes?
Johns.
This is a Fallon.
John's on a trip.
This is a Fallon thing.
See, they threw a crate of bananas in the water.
Mm-hmm. Not going back to that.
I said Jimmy Fallon. Okay. Jimmy Fallon played charades. Did you see him play charades the one night with whoever?
No.
On this, I said, the sound you hear is America turning off their TVs. Brutal as expected. Hashtag charades. Hashtag Fallon tonight. And it went on from there. At one point, he brought out...
I think we both jumped in on the first Seth Meyers.
A kid inventor who had a dog. And at one point, I said, there was like a dog in a sweater or something. And I said, I'm not sure who's having less fun right now, me or that dog. Hashtag Fallon tonight. I also said, Tim McGraw is the guest. It looks like Jimmy's hipster musical guest thing is out the window. For Fallon stuff.
Listen.
Those are my initial...
You know, that's very true, because in the late night show, it was all kind of cool music.
Yeah, it was all kind of cool music, and now it's not. Yeah. And now it's country.
I just don't understand, when you're given the position of the Tonight Show,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big fucking deal.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You can do any fucking thing you want.
It's only happened in our lifetimes three times
You can do anything you want. And you choose to do the same fucking shit?
It kind of did.
This would be the fourth.
This is goddamn ridiculous.
Conan got boned.
Right, but I'm saying there have only been three new hosts.
Conan fucked me because Conan got the Tonight Show, kicked off, does his like Conan live tour, goes all over the country and does crazy shit.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he gets a new show, what does he do? The same fucking shit. Like, you can do anything you fucking want now.
But he did. Conan show is
no.
You can't.
Really. Conan show is fine. You don't even have cable. Don't
format,
tell me about Conan
this
show.
This is a format.
When you don't even see it.
This is a format that no longer works.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
It doesn't work anymore.
Well, here's the thing. You have to do something new with the format. I'll give Jimmy Fallon credit in that he's doing something new with it. This is what he's doing new with it. He's ruining it. That's what he's doing new with it.
Yeah.
He's making it not funny.
Yeah,
and as much as we hated Leno for writing all that hacky news of the day stuff. At least it worked for what it was. You know, at least it was. Jimmy's not even trying to do that.
But what Leno did, Leno came along and brutally dry humped the victim for 22 years.
Okay.
Right.
Now we're mad at Leno for jizzing on her face? Or Fallon? Like,
Jay took... Okay.
Jay beat Jay, that formula into the ground.
Johnny would do monologues with full of bad jokes that Johnny would acknowledge they were bad jokes.
Right.
Jay would do a monologue full of bad jokes and sell them as if they were great jokes.
Exactly.
And that's sort of the difference between that Jay and Johnny approached it. Now, when you have Fallon out there, Fallon's not acknowledging that anything's bad. Everything's amazing.
But here's
and
the
funny.
Thing. Here's the thing with Fallon.
And
here's my when problem.
When that stuff's going nowhere.
Here's my problem. Johnny, me, never Jay. Yeah. But Johnny, every now and then, Johnny would invite fucking Charlton Heston on.
Okay.
Charlton Heston's 13th time on The Tonight Show, Johnny would get him involved in a fucking skit.
Okay.
Yeah.
And some water would be dumped on Charlton Heston.
Sure.
Head.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Jimmy Fallon's bit is every time I have a massively famous fucking star on,
yeah,
I'm going to throw pudding in their face.
I'm gonna we're going to play Flip Cup.
That's not funny.
Yeah,
that's not funny.
Agree.
The difference is that, okay, they did do silly skits with Carson.
They sure did, but you waited for it.
But you knew, but you also knew that they were doing them as, we know these are bad. That's what's funny about
it. Exactly.
You're right. That is because Fallon does not know how to interview. Johnny would have interviews with people and get him to say things you wouldn't expect him, mm-hmm, to say.
Right.
Or get him into silly conversations or flirty conversations. Fallon can't flirt with anybody.
No.
Yeah.
Ferguson, watch him flirt with the chicks.
Oh, that...
He does it left and right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon can't flirt with anybody. You wouldn't believe.
He's too nice a guy. Yeah, he just, you don't.
I love my wife and everybody. There's no, you know what I mean?
He's not a sexual person at all. That's not his.
Carson was naughty. Even,
yeah,
though it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
The subtext,
Ferguson is naughty.
Ferguson's, yeah, naughty too. And
Letterman is on a certain level.
And we know Letterman likes to fuck
because, yeah,
he keeps getting in trouble for, yeah, banging his interns. But there was a subtext with Johnny that he was a grown-up. That,
yeah,
he was, okay, old. Being a man used to be a different thing. Right. Being a man is devalued now.
Yeah.
Being a man in the Carson era and those World War II guys meant something.
Yeah.
A man smoked a cigarette and had a bourbon, right, and chased,
listen,
the secretary. And that was all in Carson.
I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
I was at Gus's the other night, and I wear sweaters and ties and whatever.
You're a little fancier than you used to,
yeah,
be.
Yeah, whatever. But I was at Gus's, and there was a girl.
You've grown into your look.
Whatever. There's a girl. She was sitting next to me at the bar. She was by herself. She was 25.
You're a grown man.
And she goes, what's with this fucking tie? And I go, I'm a man. I don't wear jeans and T-shirts anymore.
Oh. Right.
And she goes, are you saying I'm not classy? And I said, I didn't say that at all. And she goes, I am classy and elegant. And I said, I looked at her and I go, screamed the 26-year-old girl sitting by herself at a bar,
yeah,
I am classy and elegant.
And
that's the furthest from classy and elegant.
Bar as well, for,
yeah,
those of you that,
exactly,
don't know Gus's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing about Fallon, and I think it ties.
But you dress
that.
Like an adult,
but
man
have changed,
well, like a grown up.
Jimmy Fallon is a 16-year-old, 40-year-old.
Here's what he's doing, mm-hmm, though. Jimmy does this, and this is, I think, the difference between a lot of what Conan and Letterman and these and even Kimmel does. Jimmy is letting the audience dictate that show,
oh,
meaning,
yeah,
he's giving them what they want rather than, this is the show that I want to do. Let me do my comedy, and you guys can either reject it or accept it. He's going, this, I know you like this. I did this last time. Now I'm going to do this more. I'm going to do this faster. I'm going to give you more of that lame fucking bit that you saw. That's why we've seen everything that Jimmy, wow, Fallon's got to do. We've seen it, and he's repeating it over and over and over again, and he's beating it into the ground. It's the same thing that Saturday Night Live does. That's the one thing that you'll find. When we talk about Seth Meyers and Jimmy Fallon, it all goes back to SNL, and all the shit that has sucked for years on SNL is now being repeated five nights a week on two shows.
Well, SNL corroded from being a satire machine,
yeah,
in which they ridiculed and made fun of pop culture, to being a kind of reflector.
Push us on Fallon about Meyer. You guys haven't talked about Seth Meyers.
Well,
same thing.
Well,
he comes out of the same tube.
He comes out of the same thing. If we get to Seth Meyers, he comes out, he does a monologue, which is exactly Weekend Update, but no desk.
Right.
There's no graphic, no desk. It's him doing, he even comes out, and at the beginning he says, let's do the news, or whatever he says. Something about, he doesn't call it a monologue.
Right.
Let's do the news. And he sort of does stand-up that's not really stand-up. It's a fake newscast.
I was really hopeful for it.
Did you watch it?
I did.
How many did you watch?
Three.
Okay.
I was hopeful for it because I was like, okay, he's hired a comedian to host his band.
And that's a good thing.
You can call.
Well,
Fred,
I mean,
well, I'm, let me
whatever. Like he's going in a different direction. He can again. He's doing anything he wants to. That's great. Whatever.
He scoured the earth to find the greatest talent of Fred Armisen.
Here's my tweet.
He scoured the earth to find people within 15 feet of him.
Yeah.
Here's a
that's
tweet.
What I mean. I mean, yeah, I know the whole thing, right?
He literally looked around the SNL office and says, you're not what doing it. You come with me. You come with me. You come with me. And they went down the hall.
What I never comprehended.
Yeah.
Which was Seth Meyer going to the Late Show.
Mm-hmm.
I never in my brain thought that SNL could get worse.
Sure.
And it has.
Right.
I watched last Saturday night's SNL.
I heard it
SNL.
Was terrible with Jim Parsons.
Oh, fucking the worst goddamn thing I'd
but
ever seen in my life.
SNL gets away with it because it's once a week and it's on late at night and not everybody sees it. And
people
it gets
are
away
drunk and
it.
High.
And they're drunk and high and they're happy. They know that whatever was on for the 2 hours before that was even worse than that because it's Saturday Night TV. Here's from the Joel Radio Show Twitter last night. The Fred Armisen band.
At Joel Radio Show.
At Joel Radio Show. Late Night Seth needs to dump that Fred Armisen band. They seem to know only one song, and that song sucks. If you hear that band, they play the same song for every break, I think, every the intro
well,
song.
The CBS Orchestra.
The opening song.
Plays like everything.
Right, and they'll play you your Beatles songs that they
and,
do.
And they'll do thematic for whatever. Right. Well, the Roots do that, too.
The Roots do that,
when
too.
When the guest
but
comes out.
Fred Armisen's band apparently doesn't have the ability or the desire to play that.
But again,
that.
here's the conversation about where's your focus, right?
Yes.
Like, I'm not a great comedian.
Right.
Because that's not what I do.
You're not.
I'm not a great musician because that's not what I do.
Okay.
I'm a great lecturer.
Okay.
That's what I do.
But you're a naturally funny guy.
Whatever.
You haven't put the
but here's the thing.
The discipline into
Armisen is a comedian or a writer or a musician. Pick the one thing you're good at.
Yeah.
But don't start, like, I don't want to see you every week. I don't do comedy every week.
Sure.
I do comedy maybe six times a year.
Yeah.
Right? Because I know what I'm good at and what I'm not at.
So Jimmy Fallon should come out and just not do comedy. I mean, seriously, like, he should come out and sing a song or something to
Jimmy Fallon?
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon should not do comedy.
I agree.
He's a writer.
He's a performer.
I think he's a writer.
I think he's an actor.
Yeah, I would go. Okay, I'll go with that.
He's an actor.
He's an actor. For sure, I'll go with that.
He's an improv actor.
Yeah.
Playing the role of a comedian as hosting that show. And it's no good. He's not a good host. He doesn't listen well. Seth, I think, has some innate qualities of what will make for an entertaining show. I just think that the format of the show is they just basically took him and said, here's Fallon's show, now let's put Seth in it.
Well, listen, when I watched the first Seth Meyer that I watched, I think it was his first episode, but he had Amy Poehler on, it was his first guest, and I realized that Amy Poehler was why Seth Meyer was funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? But if that makes any sense, like, I realized, like,
with that show, Amy Poehler was the first guest, and the second guest was the vice president of the United fucking
team. Yeah, that was a weird one.
Like, very strange.
Let's put the Veep after the fucking star of Parks and Recreation.
Yeah.
And it then was this clubby, chummy, Joe Biden's our buddy.
Well, Joe's appeared on
I hated it.
Parks and Rec.
I really do. I think the
That drives me crazy.
Well, and Michelle comes on Fallon, and I know this is all very canny stuff by the administration to be like, look how cool we are, but I hate it. Because if you have the vice president of the United States on in front of a microphone at any fucking point, and you can't ask him one goddamn serious question, why are we a country?
I want to get to this about the Oscars, and I'm going to make a general statement. This ties into court.
Yeah.
There needs the audience expects a certain level of formality in whether it be a show, a presidential thing.
The Oscars
and the Oscars lost all of that formality this year.
Yes.
They dropped all of that, and it needs it. And it's just like, here's an example.
That's
I give.
The tone.
If you were going
the whole
to, well, and that's what Jimmy Fallon does too. Is he drops the formality and says, "Oh, we're going to play charades." If the let's imagine the inauguration of the president, whichever president, you can say it's Obama or the next president. If they dropped all of that pomp and circumstance and right hand on the Bible, it would lose a lot of its appeal to people. Even though you're just making it, we're just all going to hang out and we'll have cameras on us and we'll just hang out. And we'll just be in our sweaters, and we'll be talking, and we'll have drinks.
Right.
And then I'll say, hey, I'm the president now, and we'll have a big party.
Well, look at the third
and the Roots
hour,
will play.
The third hour of the Today Show.
A certain level of formality in a talk show or in the Oscars, it needs to have that.
The fun took over.
Right.
And I don't want everything to be deathly serious either, but the Today Show used to be a news show that would have some lighter elements.
Sure, yes.
When it was Bryant Gumbel and Jane Pauley.
Yeah.
They would actually have real interviews with news people. You know, they would actually they talk to authors.
Right.
They'd actually have serious
what Joel was saying.
And then they'd go, here comes Willard with
the daytime talk shows are now entertainment.
Here's the thing. There's a certain amount, Joel, linguistically, Joel just said, pomp and circumstance, right?
Yes.
Like, the roots of those words.
Yes.
Pomp and circumstance, right? Yeah. It means moving around with a solemn presence.
Okay.
Like, this is something to be revered.
Sure, yeah.
This is something that's happening now, and we're... It has to happen, and we're going to do it in a serious manner.
Right, and the
when you have the president of the fucking United States on, the most arguably the most powerful man in the world.
Yes,
right. Don't fucking throw confetti at him.
Yeah.
Don't pretend to punch him in the belly.
Well, that's
and have fuck like.
But that's all that the culture is now, and that's why I hate these Fallon and Myers.
Right, and they
because they used late night used to be. A counter to late night had a different tone even when Johnny was there.
Yeah.
Then Letterman obviously is a different tone. Letterman was like Johnny was cool and Letterman was like I'm above it.
Right.
Letterman was kind of like this is all ridiculous absurdity.
Right.
And Fallon and Myers are like exactly same tone as the morning.
But Johnny at least did that. Or Letterman when Letterman followed Carson, he took the Carson formula and said I fucking stink at this. And that was sort of the tone of it.
Well,
and Jimmy Fallon is saying, let's get rid of that formula. Let's play charades. And you should the stage at the Tonight Show or the desk that the Tonight Show hosts in should be a place of it should be revered, that place. It should be a sacred
place
where you go to be interviewed in a certain way, and you shouldn't do what he's doing.
But you know what?
It.
If you watch those old Carson episodes, he would have on like Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Yeah.
Who nobody listening to your show knows who that fucking is, but he would have him on, and it would be fucking serious.
Yes,
like Carson would ask him serious questions.
Yes, he was Secretary of State.
Yeah, the person after Zbigniew Brzezinski would be Jonathan Winters.
Okay, yeah,
and Jonathan Winters would be hysterical. Right. And the funny part of Carson is that at one point, Jonathan Winters would tap Zbigniew Brzezinski sitting on the farthest end of the couch and say like, right. And the audience would fucking laugh because this serious person who had been interviewed seriously is now being silly.
And Brzezinski, but Brzezinski's deal was that he would be still be serious.
Yeah.
And he would not play along.
And
but now everybody just plays along.
Yeah.
Everybody's a comedian now.
Ugh.
It's devalued. Comedy has been devalued in our culture. In modern culture, everyone can be a comedian.
Everyone's funny.
Everyone's funny on Twitter. Everyone's funny on Facebook.
And I got to tell you, they're not.
I agree.
I'm officially retiring.
I agree.
I think I might officially retire from doing the hashtag games. Because what happens is...
That's right. I'm sick of you, Corey.
Well, no. What I'm saying is... At Midnight does the hashtag things.
Yeah. At Midnight's got to go.
I can't watch that. Fucking hate Chris Hardwick.
But I enjoy playing the little... You know, they do...
I was treated so badly in high school. Meh.
All right.
I'm a millionaire now. Meh. Everybody still hates me because I like Star Wars. Meh.
Well, I'll tell you what. His show is the same tone.
Is it?
Yeah,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean?
I never even watched
And by the way, these guys are all about our age.
Yeah.
Fallon's like 39.
They're a little bit younger than me.
A little bit younger, but they're between.
So I fucking hate them.
I'm saying between the
Seth. Seth is like 36.
You guys are a couple years older than me, but between the three of us, they're all peers. They're in the same.
But
they're in their late 30s, early 40s.
How did they?
And I don't like the tone that they.
No.
How did they end up at this tone? What changed in the culture?
Because they are 40-year-old guys going, how do I get the 20-year-olds?
Right.
And why are 20-year-olds such pussies?
Because they're raised like veal.
Fuck
they're right?
Yep. Locked into cages at
there's fucking
12 years old.
Football.
Yep.
No, they're raised like fucking veal.
Yeah, they're never treated with...
Self-esteem classes and all that stuff.
Yeah. Kid gloves the whole life.
Is it karate is still around?
Yeah,
is that allowed?
Of course. Yeah.
It is,
but it's all slapping.
Okay, I'm going to tell you right now. I'll tell you right now.
No hitting. It's all slapping.
I took judo, okay? And I was terrified of the sensei. Who was a Korean War veteran who I knew had killed people with his bare hands?
Judo, by Corey's standards, it means that he made bread with a Jewish guy.
No, I grew up in Huntington Woods. I grew up in
remind people that you're not a comedian. Can you do that again?
Yeah, judo.
We got it.
I'm not a comedian. I'm a paranormal fucking guy.
Look, I'm not saying
that. I'm drunk. I've been drinking vodka for 2 hours.
I'm not saying any of us grew up. I'm not saying any of us grew up hard. And I know that it's always the providence of the old guys to go, we had it hard in our day.
Wait. But I dug a fucking 22-foot tunnel 3 feet underground. at 14. That's hard.
Well,
look, we grew up in the 70s when they started to, like, there couldn't be violence in the cartoons.
There's a difference. Okay.
But
let me explain. Yeah. I know where you're going. And
What time are we at, Joel?
We're at 90 minutes.
All right.
What part of the deal is that now culture
My smoking gland is going fucking crazy.
People have access to everything all of the time, meaning that...
I love the squirt in a glass bottle that Gory...
It's a Mexican squirt. Mexican squirt, yes.
Yes.
Which I've had Mexican squirts at the Taco Bell. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That's why I'm a comedian! Because I can make a joke like that, Jimmy Fallon, you bitch! All
right, at Joel Radio Show on Twitter.
I apologize for not pulling this up earlier because I knew the joke was there.
Part of the deal is this. Okay. Nowadays, the culture is you would have to wait. If you wanted to see something irreverent, you would have to wait for SNL, which was at the end of the week. Or you'd have to wait for Johnny or Dave, which were late at night. You couldn't be irreverent. Now the Today Show, they're irreverent and funny. Now all of these shows, all the daytime talkers, you can watch the local news for fucking sake. The local news is filled with comedy.
I know,
it's
I'm on it.
Filled with comedians.
I know,
and
I'm
not
on
one
it.
Of them's funny. Corey's funny when he's on there. But those guys, not one of them is even in ballpark funny.
You know what's so...
They're all doing comedy.
You know what cracks me up?
It's all day.
When I go on that show and I do a real joke, sometimes they look at me like, whoa.
Right.
Like...
Where did that come from?
Yeah. Watch, okay.
Well, I said about the new Jesus movie.
Back in the day, remember the new what?
The new Jesus movie.
What's that?
There's the Son of God.
Son of God.
Holy shit. Yes. How did that happen?
That's a good question.
Wait a minute. How did that happen, Joel?
It was divine.
The last time I went out to get a drink, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Corey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the synchronistic nature of the universe.
Mm, okay.
The paranormal nature of the universe.
Which is what?
I brought Joel a gift.
Yeah.
Which was in my
you
pocket.
Him a holy
the last time,
it's sitting over there.
The
I
last,
see it.
Yeah, the last time I went out to get some vodka, I grabbed that out of the pocket of my coat.
Yeah.
Joel?
I don't know what that is. It's a book of something.
This is your gift.
Thank you, John. I don't know what it is. Thank you, John. Oh, okay. That's I'll take this. Sure. This is called The Humor of Christ by Elton Trueblood. I'm guessing that's his real name. A bold challenge to the traditional stereotype of a somber, gloomy Christ. So this is Jesus Christ was a funny guy.
These are Jesus was telling jokes the whole time.
Okay.
And people miss it.
It's originally sold for $12.
Yeah, I'll tell you what right now. Jesus was not
It's
funny.
120 pages.
Yeah. Those examples they use of Jesus being funny.
Did you read this whole book?
Oh, yeah. Is not
here's,
funny.
Here's a chapter, Christ's Use of Irony. I'll have to read that.
The fact that someone had to write a chapter about how you can understand
that. Jesus has been. But let's look at culture. Thank you, John. This is.
But back to the point about the TV. You got to see the visual, but I said, this is Roma Downey in the movie, and they showed a clip of her, and I said, yeah, Mary looks more like Steven Tyler.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, dude looks like a lady. And I could somebody go like, wait a second,
so
can you say that? Like,
let's use that joke of an example of morning television now.
Yeah.
Morning television was the
Which
Today
is a
Show.
Mild
it
joke.
Was news. It's a mild joke. But I'm saying, no one would have done that back in the day. No, Joel... Whatever his name, who was the guy that used to review on Good Morning America with the big mustache? That guy, he would never make a joke like that at a movie reviewer. So what
Siegel?
You would get, Joel Siegel, no. exactly. Siegel? Thank you. And you would get these morning talk shows that
Wait,
were.
What was the guy with the
were,
giant mustache and the eyebrows?
Oh,
Gene Shalit.
Gene Shalit. Okay. So you Joel would get Siegel. These morning shows which were serious, the news of the day. Okay. Then you'd go to daytime talk shows. Remember what daytime talk shows were? Donahue. Talking about sex change operations
right.
and divorces
when
and all
I watched,
serious things.
When I watched the Today Show today.
Yeah.
They showed Katy Perry doing weather in Australia.
Yeah, okay.
And then what's the
Oh, it's all
who
YouTube.
Pooped his,
clip?
Who pooped his pants?
Al Roker.
Al Roker. Yeah. Then Al Roker does his weather.
Yeah.
But pretends to be Katy Perry the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, why are you doing jokes?
He's making fun. Yeah, because he's a comedian. But look, I was saying the whole tone, all of culture now has decided. We're all going to be irreverent. We're all going to be funny. The daytime talk shows, they're all have this humor in
yeah,
them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you go into like,
except
you know.
For Ryan Seacrest, who says nothing interesting or funny at all.
Right.
And is not interesting or funny.
There
he's
is
the worst.
The
you know,
worst.
Even you watch something like
worst.
You know TMZ, they're all comedians. They're all doing,
oh, yeah.
you know, the news
the
of the
people
day.
On TMZ
yeah.
say shit that is office funny. to people who in the office are not funny.
And roar
and everyone roars uproariously as if it's hysterically the best thing that's ever been said.
Don't
by
you think a lot of those TMZ guys are like comedy writers that got jobs?
I think some of them are. I think some of them are there just to be funny. I mean, there is like the one guy is like the photo editor and the one guy is the video. Some of those guys are the guys who are holding the cameras
but
on
again,
the street. That
but
are
again,
in the
office. Like
but
the guys
standing around pitching.
But here's
like,
the thing.
Don't you think those are comedy writers?
Some
who
of the guys.
No. I think honestly, I think what happens is we are the, what's the best way to say this? Because the idea is forming in my brain now. When you watch something like TMZ, you're seeing a brief snippet of an office space.
Yeah.
Right? And what we're doing is we're saying, who is the funniest person in this office?
Yeah.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Because the rest of these people are not fucking funny. So that guy, Gary,
well,
or that guy.
Well, then they laugh
James.
At the guy who's not funny.
Right.
Then everyone makes fun of the guy. Or like,
exactly.
Harvey's not funny. No one ever laughs at something Harvey says, but when Harvey says something stupid, everyone laughs at him.
Exactly.
So the hashtag games, I said I'm retiring from them.
Yeah, please do.
Because I post them, and I'm trying, you know, like the other day, it was white black movies, was what my friend Nate Fridson posted. Mm-hmm. And I said, JoJo Dancer, your broker is calling.
Okay.
You know, right?
Right.
Right. The thing is to take some obscure movie and make a reference out of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm working on these, trying to do them as an exercise. But what happens is all my fucking civilian friends get on there and post like.
And then they're all funny. Well, that's the thing.
Correct.
And they're not.
First of all,
and a lot of them aren't funny.
I will never write for At Midnight.
Mm-hmm. No.
Fuck them. I have this show to write for.
Right.
And God knows this show needs humor sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm writing exclusively.
It's amazing to me what's getting passed off as humor.
It's insane.
In this day and age. At Midnight is not funny.
I agree.
At Midnight is a guy who is only
some of the
cursorily.
People on.
Wait,
I agree as someone who's never seen
it. Wait a second.
I'm too busy
At
watching
Midnight
Jimmy
is a guy
how do
who
you
is.
Know? You're not watching it.
I'm watching
it. I had to babysit a dog for 2 weeks, so I had to watch it. At Midnight is.
You can get Hulu. And
a guy who is. Cursorily funny. What?
Yeah. No. Go ahead.
What you?
Going.
What are you telling
keep
him to
going.
Do? Cut him off.
Yeah. It's out. Is it empty?
It's
okay.
Empty.
I think Kenny's had enough to drink.
No.
Go ahead,
Chris Hardwick is only kind of funny. At Midnight is a show where a guy who is only kind of funny, giving people points for being funny.
Yes.
That's right. Part of the problem. That's the systemic part of the problem.
It is, yes.
Is that there's someone who's not funny. Telling other people who are funny,
mm-hmm.
they're funnier than they should be. So when the audience watches it, they're like, oh, well, I don't know, Doug, whatever that guy's name is.
Doug Benson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is way funnier because Chris Hardwick is saying he's way funnier than
well,
he is.
Well, it is, you know, it is, television gives you a certain authority. And there are people who can't determine. People, when you put something on TV and bill it as comedy, there are people that will find that funny. Just for the fact that it's billed
as suburgatory funny.
Well, the fact that you're on, you know, the fact that you hit a button and it comes on your television makes it funnier than something else.
Since you don't have cable, I know you've seen this show, Mr. Box Office.
Oh
my God! This is the new.
It is written at the level of less.
Who is Mr. Box? Explain to us who
less than the Wizards of Waverly Palace.
There's two syndicated shows. It's the worst. There's two syndicated shows that are on like Channel 20.
Yeah.
Okay.
Meet the Browns.
And they're usually on there's The First Family.
First Family.
Is that still on?
First Family is still
First
on.
First Family,
absolutely.
This is the hilarious, incredibly
and Mr. Box Office.
The incredible science fiction comedy premise here. A black family is in the White House.
Okay. It's First Family. Okay.
That's the joke.
I'm laughing.
John Lovitz is on.
And it's all like Grandma Ma be like, oh God, the Secret Service patted me down and we're grabbing my booty.
And the token white John Lovitz is like, they would never do that to you.
Mr. Box Office is Bill Bellamy was a film star who got busted for a DUI and has to do community service at a high school.
Which I think is an episode of when they're pitching shows, when Jerry and George are pitching shows to NBC. When they say like, there's a black guy who gets pulled over for drunk driving. He's a movie star and now he's got to be a teacher in a high school. Like, and it's the worst premise for a show.
It's a fish out of water.
Here's
premise.
The fucking
it's a
cast.
Typical premise.
It's Bill Bellamy, John Lovitz, Tim Meadows, I think Cockroach from the Cosby Show.
Okay. Yes.
And the crazy Gary Busey.
It doesn't matter. It's a disaster.
Gary Busey's the science teacher.
I've never seen that show.
It's a disaster when you start with the main character being Bill Bellamy.
Right.
who is 52 years old playing a 20-year-old.
Well, that is probably a problem, I guess, of that show.
Anyway, I'm saying we should do a podcast where we try to get through an episode of Mr. Box Office.
John, impossible. That is John's new show.
Yeah, my new podcast. Corey is going to be on it soon, where he plays a 1964 Jeopardy against another person.
All right, that's great. Yeah. I have to post this. I have a great... What is this? I have a great Family Feud that I found on YouTube. It's the cast of WKRP in Cincinnati against the cast of Love Boat.
Oh, wow.
And it's great. Ooh, wow. And it's funny. So I have to post that. I have to share that with the world. So that'll look
I
for
mean,
that
there
soon.
Was always... There were places for celebrities to be goofy, like the match game.
Sure, but...
They all acted like they were boozed up and had a party.
You had to wait for that. That had to come on. Now they're playing match game on the morning talk show.
Right,
you're on.
Yeah, for
they're
sure.
They're doing these things. And I just feel like the whole... Comedy had a spot. And we talk about pomp and circumstance. It's not the same as that, but it had a spot. You had to go to it.
Yes.
Now it comes to you.
Right.
And it's not as good. And it's watered down. And there's too many people doing it.
Too many people weren't professionals.
There's too many people but everybody, now everybody.
Here's the thing,
now
though.
Now all these shows have comedy writers that are there.
Okay, when.
Punching things
on,
off.
On Mark Maron's show, he had the great What a Country himself.
Yakov Smirnoff.
Yakov Smirnoff. Yeah. And Yakov said that there was like this guy, Alexei Rykin, was the big state-sponsored comic. And he'd come on the radio like on a Sunday, like maybe twice a month. Mm-hmm. And they all looked forward to hearing the jokes because that was the only jokes they got.
Right.
And that created his whole career.
Well, that's, I mean.
Not that I want a Soviet system.
But I sort of feel that
comedy meant more to
that's what's happened to Late Night. And that's what's happened to.
That's what happened to everything.
What happened to SNL.
You cannot have. You cannot have. If you watch, up until probably the mid-70s, if you watch dramas, television shows, whatever, whether it be even you go back into the 60s, you watch The Bold Ones and stuff like that. Like you had shows that were an hour long. That never had a fucking comedic bit in at all.
Well, we watched, didn't we watch?
Well, Walton's, never any time.
There were
certain episodes where it was like, shit is not going to be fucking funny. No,
we watched Emergency and Adam 12.
Yeah.
And those shows were
no humor in it.
Give me a break was a solid 30 minutes without a laugh.
Exactly.
No, but John's completely
that.
Right. There were shows that just had no
comedy. We're not going to try
comedic
and be comedy. It's drama
whatsoever. Yeah,
it's fucking drama.
And there's still those shows still exist, like Homeland and stuff like that. But it's rare.
Yeah,
it's rare.
Right. Yeah. Everything now has to have a beat in it where there's a funny character.
Everything is
there's a weird character. Everything there's an off character. You can watch Criminal Minds. They're fucking cutting chicks up and cutting their fingers off and stuff. And then you got one guy who's like, bah, 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 and he's making fucking jokes. And you're why is he in
there?
There
is everything.
Wait, Nino Brown's on Criminal Minds.
Yeah, he was.
Why not the dog?
Everything now is slash. Everything is slash comedy. You have these shows. All right.
I made Corey take his
You guys congratulate off. Each other. No, go blow each other. That was so funny, you guys. You guys were great.
Like,
take a bow.
Mandy
take a bow.
Jenkins like, he cut off her fingerprints.
What the hell?
Can I have a cigarette pretty soon, Joel?
Yeah, I think maybe we can. Do you want to do Oscar talk or do you want to take a cigarette break
and
we'll come back?
Let's take a cigarette break and then do Oscar talk. I still haven't talked about my mental breakdown yet.
Well, we've got maybe 20, 30 minutes left.
Let's take a cigarette break.
We're going to come right back. Audience, you don't have to do anything.
They won't know anything's
happening. John's going to smoke.
Next time they hear us, we'll be talking.
Sober up slightly. And then we'll come back. We'll do our brief Oscar review. And John will talk about his mental breakdown and we'll say goodnight from Joel Radio. Okay? Just in 1 second. Thank you. All right, so we're back. John had his cigarette. You feeling good, John?
I feel good now.
All right, so let's get into the Oscars a little bit, and then we'll close with whatever's been up to you and your personal life.
All right.
Because the Oscars, I think, and it's we come on and do this show now, and again, because everybody's irreverent, everyone's already taken their pot shots at the Oscars. I think the one thing that people are taking away, which I'm shocked by, because at the time it didn't seem like such a big deal, was the John Travolta fucking up that woman's name.
Which became an instant
thing. It became sort of an instant meme of this name. Mm-hmm. And I don't, to me, I know like people like to pick on Travolta. And Twitter went crazy about how his hair and how he clearly looked like he was wearing a toupe.
Right.
I was commenting on it to my wife, but I didn't actually, because her name is Idina Menzel.
Yeah. And what did he call her?
Adele DeWeke or something.
Well, Dizina or something.
There's the one part of the Oscars I missed.
Well, it wasn't such a big deal at the time because this woman wasn't super famous anyway.
She's the girl who sings, she's on Glee.
She was in. She's a Broadway actress. She's, you know, and she sang the song for Frozen, which was nominated.
But he also was like,
"Ooh, that was terrible." I saw that.
The movie Frozen.
No, the performance on the Oscars.
I didn't like that
performance at all.
Yeah,
I liked it.
But Travolta goes, "Give it up for the titanically talented and amazingly wonderful."
Yeah.
Blippity bloppity.
Adele was on wide. Like, well, blew her name. Told how great she was, and then blew her name.
One thing I'll tell you, as a guy who hosts stuff,
right,
always have it. Now, I know he had a teleprompter, but always have it written down.
Oh, yeah.
Always have it written down, even if you know it. Even if I'm bringing up John Tenney, who I know, I will have written in front of me, this is, you know, John Tenney.
Right.
Because sometimes the brain doesn't do what you want it to do.
When
when it's a high-pressure situation, sometimes that happens. And, you know, Travolta's not a guy who speaks contemporaneously.
Well, and he's
not a guy that's a comic or a lecturer.
And this is something that I talked about with a friend of mine. Actors.
Yeah.
They are empty vessels.
Yeah.
The reason that they're good actors, the reason they're good actors is because they have no personality of their own.
Okay.
They can take on the personality of other people. Right. So you have to give them shit written down right in front of their face.
And they can do multiple takes of it so they get it right.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, and I'm sure they did a rehearsal and Travolta came out and did it, but whatever happens, the pressures of the show, the fatigue of the crew, maybe my guess is that to give John some benefit of the doubt, the teleprompter's messed up.
Sure.
He has to remember her name off the top of his head.
Right.
He did a little dyslexia thing
But the guy is
mixed
also
up a couple little letters.
Who memorizes lines.
Right.
I know that, but sometimes I think it's a thing where when you know you have the teleprompter in front of you, maybe you don't memorize it because you know
he wasn't
even
close.
Well,
And what amazes me is he should have just known her name ahead of time.
If I was going to bring out somebody, if they'd say, Joel, you're introducing the next musical act at the Oscars, I would have it written down on a piece of paper that I could easily get to in the event that the teleprompter broke down or something. I mean, I would memorize it, but I would do, you know, belt and suspenders, like prepare.
What you would do is they would say, Joel, you're going to introduce this person. You have two sentences that you have to say. Mm-hmm. And for 3 days before you had to do it, you would practice those two sentences.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Sure.
People get to a certain, I feel like people get to a certain point in their life. And even now, when you watch actors talking about them making movies, you know, you shoot 2 minutes in a day.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they don't learn the whole script.
Depends on the movie.
They don't learn the whole script.
You learn it day by day.
You learn it day by day.
Day by day, yeah.
Like, I'm not even going to pull the full time into learning who my character is, whatever.
Right. You get Saturday and Sunday off, so you only have to learn a day.
I know in the news business that a lot of times they don't know what's in the teleprompter.
They don't, yeah. So they're reading that stuff, and that fucks them.
You kind of have to react.
And that fucks them up. And I think that's what happened to Travolta. I don't think it was the worst thing ever. I think Ellen was the worst thing ever.
The worst thing ever was Ellen.
Ellen was terrible.
She was terrible.
If we can just,
we all hate Ellen. So
and we all hated Ellen on the Oscars.
Was it her idea? Was it her idea to, like, I'm going to do the Oscars without a script? Like, I'm going to pretend that I'm just winging the whole
fucking
monologue,
thing. Which was scripted, was very weak and very lame.
But the whole, like, I'm ordering pizza for everybody.
Well, that was the problem with it. And again, when I talked about when you break something about the Oscars, the formality of the Oscars is what makes it good.
Right.
When you break that down, when you let the host go into the crowd and you break that wall between them, it ruins the dynamic.
Absolutely,
that
I agree.
You have a dynamic of the host is on stage saying things about the people in the crowd. When you break that dynamic, it ruins the whole thing.
It's a tough job. It's a thankless
job. It is a tough job.
Because the one time Letterman did it, which I thought was great, they all hated him because Letterman did what he does.
Yeah.
He punctured the absurdity of the event and made it all like, and he did the Uma and Oprah thing, and he did the talking to Beavis and Butthead. And everybody hated Letterman in Hollywood because that thing, the Oscars is a celebration of us.
Yeah.
It is about how wonderful and special we are. We gave a black person an Oscar.
Oh, my God.
Let us all touch us. Right. Now. Touch our robes. Touch our golden robes.
I said
we have bestowed upon a young black woman a prize.
I was on the phone with Corey when 12 Years a Slave won the Oscar, and I go, well, that settles it for slavery. Now we're even.
Right.
Right. But that was sort of the idea there is like, okay, we feel bad about slavery. And
so is 30 years with SAG.
Yeah.
Right. Is 30 years when you can start using someone else's name? Because every time I hear Steve McQueen,
Yes. I don't know what the deal is. Steve McQueen's not an actor.
Because, like, I had to add E.L.
Yes.
To my name.
To be on television.
There was already an actor named John Tenney.
Yeah.
And I had to add E.L.
Sure.
So that people wouldn't get us confused.
Steve McQueen is not an actor. He's a director.
Right, but I'm saying, like...
There's a director's guild, and I don't believe that Steve McQueen ever directed
a movie. But I mean, like, is there
a
difference between... His name is exactly the same spelling.
It is, no.
What about deceased people?
Right. I mean, that's what I wonder about. Like,
I'm not sure what that is.
There are kids right now, when they hear Steve McQueen, they think him.
Well,
right?
I don't think the majority of people in the world think
riding motorcycles and The Great Escape.
I don't know. I think there would have to be some sort of...
Actually, I believe his name is Steve M.C. Queen.
Is that what it is? MC Queen?
Because he's a big...
Right? He's one of Harry's characters?
All right. Then
he's a big homo is what I'm saying.
Here's your 2015 Oscars host, Corey Hall, everybody, with
that
witty...
Look, they don't
witty material.
Work.
Look, Ellen's monologue... Okay,
hold on. Let me make that funny. No, ho, no, ho, no, no,
my head!
All right. Now, everybody last year said Seth MacFarlane was too risque. Seth MacFarlane was dirty. He talked about, he did the song about how he saw all the actresses nude in the movies, and it was kind of funny. We saw your boobs. And everyone said that was wrong, so let's get Ellen, who has no sharp edges whatsoever. Let's have her just hang out in the crowd.
She's got all the sharp edges.
It was a disaster.
It was a disaster. It really was.
It was
bad. Well, the fun thing they did, you know, that somebody also said, well, they were interviewing one of the producers, and they said, well, we like that you didn't play people off. And I think I like it when they do.
Yeah.
In a sense, in that you only have so much time to get it in, it makes it sort of exciting. They took the band, and they took the band. The band wasn't even in the room. Did you know that?
Yeah, right.
The band was at Capitol Studios down the street.
Right.
They weren't even in the goddamn building. How disrespectful is that?
The Hollywood Reporter, which is a trade magazine,
there
to evaluate the, you know, because every Hollywood Reporter review says, instead of just saying if the movie sucks or not, they're like, this will do well in this quarter.
Right.
Quadrant. It says, their review of the Oscars. As a television event, this year's Oscars were more like an endurance test. Turgid, badly directed, poorly produced, and featuring an endless string of tired or wince-inducing moments from host Ellen DeGeneres.
There you go.
Listen,
that sums it up.
There were so many moments where I was like, who is in charge of this thing? Right?
Right.
When you have Pink singing somewhere over the rainbow. That's a disaster. Don't do that, right? And then after they did the In Memoriam.
Yes.
Which actually made me happy because they showed Richard Matheson, who's one of my favorite authors.
Yes, that was great.
He got a call out. I thought that was great.
And Run Run Shaw.
Yeah, and Run Run Shaw. But the thing was, then I have a text on my phone. When Bette Midler walked out to sing Wing Beneath My Wings, I texted someone and I said, they're not going for the youth demographic.
No, they're not.
There were thousands of kids that turned the TV off at that point.
There was a song. Why didn't she?
Why is my grandmother singing after these?
Why didn't
people?
She just sing over the In Memoriam anyway?
No
why
idea.
They do the In Memoriam, then they stop, and she sings the song, which just doesn't even seem tied into anything.
Yeah.
Well, here's some of my Oscar tweets at the time. I said, "Pink looks good. I would suck her cock." That was one of my Oscar tweets. I said, this was directed at Corey. I said,
she is a handsome man.
Yeah. I said, at Corey Hall Comics said, we'd never see Gabby Sibide again. I'm not sure we could miss her because she was on there for a minute. I said, Bill Murray shouted out Harold Ramis and All Is Right with the World because that was the thing. Now this was,
that made me happy.
Yeah. That was
the Ramis shout out made me a little bit happy.
What else did I say about that? Kim Novak just won for least animated face.
Holy smokes.
She was First of all,
I didn't know she was alive.
She was presenting animated
films. I didn't know she was alive.
Well, she's hardly been in a movie since Vertigo.
I had no idea.
She was out of show business. I don't know what she's doing.
I had no idea why she was out there. When she walked out.
Did she do a voice in one of these animated movies, Corey?
When she walked out,
Kim Novak?
Kim
Novak.
Is
she in Frozen or something?
You know who looks more like Kim Novak now? Mickey Rourke. was a disaster. And she was a good looking lady.
I said, here's another thing from the Joel Radio Show Twitter. When does Ellen dance with the audience?
Right.
I said Ellen's outfit. I said, I'm proud that Ellen's the new Doctor Who.
Yeah.
She came out in that Austin Powers get up with the
Well, she wasn't going to wear a dress. That was the big thing, right?
Right, right, right.
Like, don't put me in a dress.
Well, that's the other thing. She did the joke about Liza. Now, let me see exactly what I wrote at the time, which only people picked on it the next day. At the time, no one really seemed to care about that.
I think we all had variants on this because I said, don't get too comfortable being behind an Academy podium, Tyler Perry.
Yeah, okay.
When he came out.
Well, Tyler Perry.
And I said the same thing about Kate Hudson.
I said, Ellen says Liza Minnelli looks like a dude. That took balls, Ellen. Thankfully, you've got him.
Yeah. Right.
Because, you know, it's a woman in a tuxedo saying somebody looks like a dude.
Yeah,
I mean,
for
come
sure.
On. That's completely wrong. And, you know, those are just some of the stuff I wrote during the Oscars.
What's amazing to me is that
I said the closet door is cracked open just a little bit. Hashtag Will Smith.
Oh, jeez.
Will looked a little. He was wearing like an ascot.
Yeah.
And a like eyeliner, right? He was wearing eyeliner and an ascot.
He's very fancy.
Yeah. He's,
I said. Then they had a montage of like heroism, or just like,
I missed some of it. I cashed out a lot of the Oscars.
Well, they sometimes just have random
tribute
montages.
To heroes.
And I said, this montage about bravery reminds us that it all rained in L.A. yesterday.
Yeah. Well,
they all,
and this is becoming a big story
because that was a big story. Like
it rained on the red carpet.
We had to put
a
tarp over the red carpet last night.
Right. And this has become a big story only recently. You know, 3 days after the Oscars, now 4 days after the Oscars. That remember Bat Kid, the kid who they let dress up as Bat Kid. Him and like Andrew Garfield, who is Spider-Man now, were supposed to come out and do something.
Right.
And they cut it. And I guess Bat Kid was all upset, and I think it probably was tied into that montage. And and there's a controversy that they think that Andrew Garfield wrote the bit and that the producers didn't like it, so they cut it.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, that would have tied into that at least to have them out.
Yeah, we got to have Bruce Valanche write the bit.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was. It was just really lame.
It was a horrible show, and I think it doesn't do, as a guy in the industry, it doesn't do any favors for the business.
I think,
did anything in that show make you run out and want to watch?
No, you know what? You know what's amazing is I watched one of those kinescopes from like the Oscars from like 50 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
And I think I watched it intently. Like I was like, holy crap! Like this is amazing. These stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was because the one that I watched, it was almost as if they didn't know it was being filmed or televised. Yeah. Like, they were just talking to each other.
They weren't playing to the camera.
Yeah, they were just talking to each other, and they were talking about things that happened. And I was like, this is amazing.
The Oscars is an entertainment show for the people at home.
It's amazing.
It's not a presentation
I'm getting a sneak preview into a world that never will be
in. Well, tell you what. I watched the BAFTAs this year, this year, and we know we did our big movie review, but I went out and saw all the Oscar-nominated movies. I saw all the Oscar-nominated documentaries, so I felt like I knew these things was a little more enjoyable for me.
Right.
So I watched the BAFTAs, and Stephen Fry is the host.
Mm-hmm.
And he stands behind a podium, and he does a prepared monologue, very good. You know, but, you know, Stephen Fry, not a comic, but a humorous man.
He's droll.
So he does this, and then for every presenter he came out, he had a little prepared thing that was mildly amusing,
right?
But he delivered it well, and it kept moving, and he was fantastic.
Yeah.
Now people would have been bored with that in America because it wasn't showy, but you know it was great. He was a great MC. When you watch this Family Feud that I put up, Richard Dawson comes out and does a monologue.
Yeah.
On fucking Family Feud, he's in a tuxedo, he's cracking wise about what's going on, he's making fun of the contestants. He's a great MC. It's really good.
Right.
You know, he's making fun of Bernie Capel from Love Boat. It's funny. And I think that art of the MC, the art of being
Bernie
the host,
Capel.
It's a great show. You have to watch this Family Feud.
You know,
it's tremendous.
Again, not to be how much greater we are, but we are. The Gen Xers, okay, you know what we do? What I always thought comics did? Bust each other's balls.
Uh-huh.
And what my friends did, before I was even a comic, I've known this bastard for 20 years.
Yes.
We would always goof on each other as just the natural, like...
The order of things.
Your friends, you make fun of them and goof on them. Sometimes they got too mean and went over the top, and we'd have hurt feelings, and then come back a couple weeks later and be like, you fucking dick.
Right, but as you get older...
Now you'd be considered a bully by today's...
But now, if you make
absolutely.
Fucking jokes about each other, like, okay, she went up and... Watch this fucking roast, the Dean Martin roast.
Yeah. Right.
Don Rickles will come up there and go, it's interesting that Red Fox is on this panel because his people invented the idea of roasting other people.
Right. Yeah, you know,
whatever. They made a fucking cannibal joke.
Howard Stern always played this. It was the Wilt Chamberlain roast, and somebody said, Wilt's Cadillac is so big you can fit a watermelon in the glove compartment. You know, like right. just a completely racist. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not.
No, there was a
that...
the Fred Fox. There was a on the Dean Martin roast. There's a joke. Red Fox. It's good to see him sitting at the front table, since for the last 100 years he would have been serving us right. at this table. Like, I mean, just things like that, and everybody laughs. Very funny. But, whatever.
But the different. And
you
I'm not,
could not do it now.
And it's not like I want to go celebrate the grand old days of racism.
Yeah right. you would.
But.
Well, it's that.
I would.
No. But
it seems like there was an honesty. There was an
honest those things
were
everything was on the table back then, and it's now things are off the table, and
right.
everybody's like, you know, it's very safe, and everything is very look. I mean, the Liza Minnelli joke was a mean joke, but Ellen shouldn't be telling that joke.
No, everything is off the table in the sense that when you watch that In Memoriam thing, mm-hmm. they put the In Memoriam in alphabetical order.
Did they?
That's how they do it.
Well, they ended with Philip Seymour Hoffman. So
that's what they didn't do. And that's how you know that things are not right.
Oh, you're saying the old one, they were in alphabetical order.
They
now
were old,
they're now
old,
it's
that
produced.
Whole In Memoriam that you watched
yeah.
was in alphabetical order until the end.
Well, they opened
when
with,
they held
on the bigger screen.
On Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Right.
He should have been in the fucking middle.
Okay.
Where he belongs. He's a fucking drug addict who killed himself.
Or it could be chronology by the date in
whatever.
Which they died or something.
Whatever. Yeah. But you don't hold on the last most recent, most popular person.
That's what they do.
And that's what they do, and that's fucked up.
Well.
There was also a list of people they forgot.
Of course.
Yeah, and if you get on a website, there's this woman who was killed on set.
Sarah.
Who the
Sarah Jones, I think her name was. She
and,
was an independent film director.
And who's the one actor? Dennis, what's the guy's name? The guy with the big must, Dennis Farina. Who wasn't in there.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
Somebody wanted the guy from the Warriors that just died yep. recently to be in there, and he wasn't in there.
No,
so.
there were a bunch of
there were some
guys
people that got left out, and it's a shame.
I heard some
then
people
you, but the thing is, you do this In Memoriam, you cut it, stop it, to just show us Bette Midler singing for five
yeah,
fucking minutes.
Exactly.
Well, you could have been rolling
you
more
put
In Memoriam.
20 more people
well,
in there.
You could have put a long clip of Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Exactly.
Or a Twilight Zone clip for Richard Matheson in
right.
there in that time that you
exactly.
Oh, you know they left out. Not that he was in a lot of movies, but Corey Monteith, who was in Glee.
Okay,
right.
Yeah, Corey Monteith.
Another
yeah.
OD.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know. Anyway, the Oscars was really bad. And
it was
even
a disaster.
Though, even though I did, as a whole, like the movies this year, I also think that their strategy of we're going to nominate
what should have won
movies,
Best Picture, Joel?
The Best Picture, according to me, was Gravity. It was my favorite movie of last year.
Corey?
And it probably was the runner-up to what would have... If 12 Years Later would have won Gravity, probably would have won. Many people predicted Gravity.
Yeah.
Corey liked her, and it was a good movie, and it was one of the nominated, so...
Gravity
you know.
Was amazing, and it won all the technical
right.
awards.
Right.
And it was a weird case where it was winning all the technical awards and then didn't win Best Picture.
Well, if you were to rank the 9 Best Pictures, though... And I did this. I also did this on the Twitter yeah. here. What would be, you know, like, how would they go? But, I mean, 12 Years a Slave wouldn't be in the top 5, right?
Wasn't that a TV movie?
No.
I think it was. 12 Years a Slave?
It was made
It was based it was on
made,
a book.
It was made for the screen.
No, but, I mean, it was a TV movie, like, 10 or 12 years ago.
I don't know. That
Corey,
I don't
you got a computer
there,
in front
there,
of you. Look at
there
that.
Version of it?
I but know.
Like
but
ABC,
if you were
it was like
to rank,
an AB, it was like an ABC movie of the week.
Here's how, John, here's how I, as Corey looks this up, here's how I ranked the best pictures from best to worst. Okay. I had Gravity number one. I thought the second best movie of the year was Philomena.
Okay.
Followed by Dallas Buyers Club, Nebraska, Captain Phillips,
mm-hmm.
Wolf of Wall Street, which is actually the best hour of cinema is Wolf of Wall Street, but then
there was a
1984
TV version.
There was a 1984,
okay,
what was it called? Picture.
12 Years a Slave.
12 Years a Slave. Okay. There you go. That's
then
what
I
thought.
Then I had Her at 7, 12 Years a Slave at 8, and American Hustle, which is of the 9, the one that I actually wouldn't recommend.
Starring Avery Brooks. Who,
yeah. Yeah. I absolutely remember. I remember that
remember
happening.
That. Yeah.
I remember that happening.
Well, now I'll have to look for that. Personally,
I'll tell you what. I saw I did not see very many of the nominated films, but I saw like American Hustle.
Yes.
That was a disaster.
I didn't like American Hustle. It was the one,
I did not
it was the
like
one
it
that
all.
I didn't like.
I didn't like it at all.
Yeah,
I didn't,
Corey liked it.
I liked American
We've
Hustle.
Had this debate already.
There's
okay,
been a lot
I'm
of
sorry.
Blowback. No, it's okay. There's been a lot of blowback on American Hustle.
There was, yeah.
And I think maybe I might have just liked it. It's a fun... It was fun for me to just watch those actors go crazy. I enjoyed the whole movie. Maybe it doesn't... I thought Her was a good movie. I thought Her was the best movie because I think in the end I'll remember the message of it or the... It has...
Right.
It's about something.
Right.
And 12 Years a Slave is not a bad. It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. I like 12 Years a Slave, but it's not. It's not interesting to me like some of the other ones. It's not.
I'll never want to watch it again.
Well, that's sort of the thing I said about Her too when we did our movie review, is that Her is sort of a Twilight Zone-y sort of twist at the end. And now that I've seen it kind of has that.
Is it?
And when I've seen it's not it's not what the movie's about, No, you should watch it.
Will you tell me off,
It's not even out on home video yet. If you want to know, it's still a good, even if you know the twist, it's still a good movie, but I felt like Her was
Isn't Gravity a Shyamalan twist too?
Not really.
Gravity's pretty straightforward.
Gravity's an adventure, though. Gravity's an adventure. It's a quest to get home.
You should see Gravity.
Gravity's great.
I haven't seen it.
For the way, I ordered it. I'm going to have the 3D Blu-ray in a couple days.
Oh.
So if you want to watch it in 3D, as you would have seen in
theater.
If it's
still in the theater, I would go see it.
Yeah,
I'll go see it.
If you see it in the theater, it's great.
I'll go to a matinee or something.
But yeah, so that's how I ranked them, and I just felt like 12 Years a Slave, it's like, did people see Philomena? Did they see these other movies?
They didn't.
Dallas Buyers Club, they all voted for the actors, but that movie was really good. The whole movie was great.
I had to beg people. I thought the actors were better than the movie as a whole.
Dallas Buyers Club, it's a good movie.
But I thought McConaughey deserved that. I had
no problem with that either. So again, it wasn't so much.
But he's nuts, right?
Lupita Nyong'o, she will never see her again. In fact, I wrote on Twitter.
It's funny, she's in Nonstop,
right?
The new Liam Neeson movie, and has three lines.
Yeah.
Can I say this though?
I said, is it too soon for her in memoriam of her career?
One of the texts,
right after she won the award.
I talked earlier about how I was sending text messages to someone during the Oscars.
Yeah.
One of the things that I don't want people to do when they win an Oscar, especially her, is your first kind of big role, right?
Yeah.
In a picture.
It literally is her first acting role. It was her first.
I don't want you to accept the award and talk about being in the Yale Drama Club.
Okay.
That is immediately like, oh, well, fuck you.
Yeah, right.
I thought you were someone from nowhere who got cast and you got award.
The guy from Captain Phillips was a cab driver
and he's
or whatever.
Broke now.
Yeah. Right.
And he won the BAFTA for supporting
actor. Sure.
By the way, we'll not see him ever.
He'll never see.
Unless they revive The Wire and they need some crackheads.
He'll be on some celebrity rehab.
He did the little Jimmy Kimmel skit.
Jimmy Kimmel put him in a skit.
But see, what the problem with this all is, the Oscars are a self-congratulatory suck-off fest.
Yes.
And they say, we love black people. We love midgets. We love...
Yeah.
Look at our diversity.
We embrace all of this.
Matthew McConaughey was great and deserved that award, not just for that movie, but everything he's done this year. He's been phenomenal.
Yeah.
True Detective, he's great. Right. He's great in all this stuff. But he played a guy with AIDS.
Yeah.
So, of course, all the...
Love AIDS. We're compassionate.
Either the gay people in the audience and the allies of gay, which is everybody else in Hollywood, went, yes, that's our story.
And
in Lupita Nyong'o, they went, oh, she's so beautiful and... I swear to God, this is one of the tweets I put out during the pregame show.
Yeah,
they were pronouncing Lupita like they were all going like Kelly Osbourne and Julian Rancic and all those gutter snipes, those barking whore sea donkeys. We're all going, Lupita is so wonderful and lovely to
me.
Like they wanted a cookie.
It's what
they
it is.
Like, they were
here's
like, I love a black woman.
Here's
I think
what
she's
it is.
Beautiful. Give me a cookie.
We're having a party. We invited somebody from the ghetto to come to our party.
Exactly,
we're
going
to be extra nice to them to make sure they fit in.
I mean, the thing that blew my mind, do you want a perfect example that they showed you that they couldn't have called out more often? Was they did the thing where they had like six young filmmakers pass out the awards.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
They had 150 whatever people make short films. All under the age of 21.
Okay.
Then they picked six to actually be the people who handed.
They would be the ones who bring the award out.
They would bring the award out, right? So they had an Asian girl.
Okay,
an Indian guy.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. A black woman.
We know what you're going at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Chinese kid.
Of course.
Like, you looked at it and it was like, okay, this is exactly why they picked every
check
single
off
one
every
of these.
Box.
Every box and make sure that you're hitting every demographic. Those are the six people.
We don't have time now, but you're going to start me on my discussion about the... about the Human Torch being a black guy now.
Okay. Right. We've already talked about it. John, I as you eat your Pringle, we have to wrap the show up.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
But wait a minute.
Let's wrap it up.
Anybody remember him?
You've been...
Who?
Huh?
He won an Oscar in The Killing Fields.
The Killing Fields.
Cambodian guy who was never seen again.
Never seen again.
Don't give non-actors.
Do you want to talk about your personal life and what's going on? You
Let's
did earlier
up.
When
Let's
you were
wrap
drunk.
It up. I'm over it.
Listen, John. Well, John, I know that John and Abby just teased this as I plug what you do. I don't know, John. Are you on Twitter now? Or are you?
I am on
that?
Twitter. John, I will be back on
Johnny L. Tenney
the 13th of this month.
13th of this
month. I am returning to Facebook and Twitter.
All right.
I had a
it's two, a week away, guys.
I had a 2 month mental and physical breakdown.
Okay, that's fine. So John will be back, and I know John has some upcoming projects
back.
That are very exciting.
I'm not allowed to talk about any
but
of
when
them.
When we hear, I know a little bit about it, and
but
when we're able to, we'll talk
are
about
always
it.
Always brewing in the world.
John is. Some
but
big
I did. I do have to apologize to my friends and on Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah, I couldn't get a hold of you.
I did have a fucking massive. What used to be called a nervous breakdown.
Not anymore.
Now it's just called, I think, a breakdown.
Is it a breakdown?
Is it? What, they've changed the name of it.
You're in
right?
a funk.
Yeah, you had a Nino Brown.
Right. Oh,
you want to hear a little Nino Brown?
No. We heard enough. No, but I will be returning, and returning with special projects that I'm working on. My new podcast.
Oh, my new. That's the name of the my.
That's
new.
The new podcast.
John's new podcast is called My New Podcast.
That's right. Corey will be on the next episode.
Okay.
It's Corey and his wife.
Right.
And another friend, my friend Scott, and his fiance.
Okay.
And they'll be playing Jeopardy against each other.
All right. Good that time. Sounds good.
On
that
my
sounds
new
like
podcast.
That'll frustrate Corey and
yes.
he's going to annoy
that. I am not buying a
You go to trivia night with Corey. It's not fun.
No.
It's not a fun night to
no.
hang out with
whenever
Corey.
I show
he's
up.
Very competitive.
Whenever I show up, yeah. the team loses.
Yeah. He gets frustrated.
And then I'm blamed for it.
And he'll go and he'll break down why they lost.
I'm blamed
for
it.
And the other team.
He showed up. Listen, he showed up.
Seven guys on
he showed up like 2 hours late.
Yeah.
He showed up for like the last 15 minutes.
To work.
Then we lost.
Yeah.
And then he blamed everyone but himself.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's exactly how it goes. I played trivia with Corey once too.
It's
the same thing.
I missed the first two rounds.
Right.
We stunk last night.
We did stink last night.
And I blew a couple that, you know.
Right. I mean, it's trivia. I mean, the part of the thing, because when I played trivia with Corey, I went like, this is trivia. This is stuff you're not supposed to know. So Corey, while is a very educated man and knows lots of stuff you're supposed to know, nobody can know all the stuff that you're not supposed to know.
I guess what frustrates
that
me.
None of us
trivia.
Knew. There was no way any of us were going to get... Like the Lady Gaga songs they were asking,
okay.
The Alicia Keys songs sure. they were asking. Right. None of us knew,
and you—that's why you do like, have a diverse team where you have the wives well, and stuff and the
like,
girlfriends.
Yeah, and the youngest,
that might know
and
that
the
youngest
of the wives or fiance, we were counting on her to know the pop songs,
and she's yeah.
and she still didn't have them.
And you realize so. That sometimes the people that listen to that dumb shit don't really even know what that's called.
Well,
and they don't know all the arcades.
Well, then you also realize too that some, like Corey's saying, like sometimes you realize that the youngest of you. May not be as dumb as you would hope a young person would be.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. they're smarter than, yeah. oh, shit, well, they're not.
It's not even dumb. It's just like, I thought she might be closer to knowing Leona Lewis songs.
They're not.
No, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. sometimes you think someone's young, so they're going to know all this shit I don't know. Not that they're dumb.
Well.
But they're like, holy shit, they don't pay attention to what
well,
you think young
well,
people
there,
would
there
pay
is,
attention
there, and that the, is also a cultural
the,
change.
The guys who write that thing, and there's like one girl that writes and a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
The guys... get criticism that they don't write for women.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do write for women, it's like, hey, Taylor Swift said this on Twitter.
Yeah.
And it's some shit no one would know or care about.
Well, it's
so
again,
I get mad when I know all the stuff.
Corey is making excuses for his
it's trivia.
Unintellectual knowledge.
I blew, showing up late. I'll tell you what,
the
one question I blew, which I knew I was wrong, but I still went with a group mind.
Was the De Gaulle question?
The De Gaulle question.
Yeah. That'll irk you forever.
It's going to drive me nuts.
Well,
they said this. It was like the category was
who
60,
cares?
60s leaders.
I'm sorry that I had a mental
I know,
breakdown.
You're gonna have him over for Jeopardy,
a breakdown.
And Corey's going to have a breakdown, and you're going to think the show's funny because you have Corey on there, but when you put him in a competitive environment, he's going to get very frustrated.
I should be able to talk about my secret projects in 2 months.
Okay, that's
I take trivia a little too seriously.
A
yes.
little too seriously.
I should be able to talk about my secret projects in 2 months.
Okay, sounds good.
I'm returning to Twitter and Facebook on the 13th.
Sounds wonderful.
People can go to weirdlectures.com.
I'm excited.
They can follow me on Twitter at John E. L. Tenney. They can follow me on Instagram at John E. L. Tenney. They can go to Facebook.com/weirdlectures.
Yeah.
There you go.
They can go to Weird Lectures. They can listen to the old Realm of the Weird at Realm of the Weird. They can go to Top Tennies at TopTennies.com. They can go to the old Oddest episodes at TheOddest.com. How many more things can I plug?
Plug whatever you want.
Mynewpodcast.tumblr.com.
Oh, it's on Tumblr.
It's a cartoon show.
It's a cartoon show on YouTube.
Oh,
on YouTube.
Yes.
You can go to Sir Graveson Show on Facebook.
Yes.
I'm working on a horror host thing.
Well, this all sounds wonderful. I'm excited for you. And
I'm sorry I didn't get more to talk about my mental breakdown. I had a lot of physical ailments that I wanted to talk about.
Well,
remember
you know,
how I thought I had a tooth in my pancreas
at one
time?
Yeah, that
wasn't
a tooth.
I think it's tumors now.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
Oh, in there's John's, the sad cowboy music.
I'll play this at your funeral. At your
John's
wake.
Closet, I think he has 7 inches from his band Smokeout still available.
If you want to,
so you could probably buy some of those.
I want to just once again plug a Joel Radio Show at Twitter if you want to follow that.
At Joel Radio Show.
At Joel Radio Show. Don't forget about
Hashtag Lonely.
The O'Mara Show. Go get that over on joelradio.net. And you can listen to the show on Stitcher. You can get the show on iTunes. And if you want to get a hold of us, go to the front page. You can ask us
at
a question.
At Corey Hall Comic.
At Corey Hall Comic on Twitter. So you can find us there. Again, we're doing another live comedy podcast. What's it called now? I got to write this down.
It's Joel Radio Presents.
Joel Radio Presents.
Comedy Night.
Comedy Night,
Comedy Night Live.
No, John, right. John's renamed the show.
It's good.
Which is good.
And I'll be performing.
You and Nino Brown are doing a two-man show. Is that
we are.
Are you confirming that now?
Yes.
Nino Brown's going to talk and you're going to translate.
Absolutely.
It'll be hilarious.
Yep. Okay. Except I'm doing it in sign language.
But I do need, maybe you can help me. I need somebody to take pictures at this. I have no good pictures. I thought you had an SLR or something.
Yeah, I do.
Well, you need to help me out.
You know, all right. Nut juice tastes like ranch. That's what we learned today.
Give me nut on about it.
You know what I'm talking about.
Thanks for listening to Joel Radio, guys. We'll catch you next time. Good night, everybody.